go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on this Friday, the 14th day of July, 2023. This is The Horn. Head On Live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by, the folks who hung around because I'm late to the air this evening. And that would be Squeaky and Kid Mark and Irish Dave, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bug Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Yes. Not just any West Virginia, Kid Mark notes. It's by God West Virginia, right next to the Lord its own self. Hey, Ralphs. There's Ralphs popping into the chat room. Good to see you. I hope you have a lovely weekend coming up. Hi, I'm Robin. If you're listening to the podcast, please be so kind as to like and subscribe. We're seeing some modest rises in download numbers and things like that. And I'm firmly convinced it's because you're liking and subscribing and leaving comments for the algorithm to let them know that we're here, you know, just like the little who's in Whoville. So thank you for doing that. Please continue. It really does make a difference. It helps. It helps a lot. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we say begin the program by saying thank you to our 14th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you so much to Matt in San Francisco. And thank you as well to Ralphs. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. And there's a lot of plates and there's a lot of sticks. I was just thinking back. This is, of course, the French version of their Independence Day. This is Bastille Day, the day of the storming of the Bastille, to let out people who had been imprisoned for various crimes, many of which related to the act of being poor. And, well, let's see, 1793... Two hundred and thirty years ago, as the terror began, and royals began simply losing their heads. It is also a couple who is dear to me, friends of mine, of long standing, is their wedding anniversary. So on this date in 1988, I was standing up at a wedding as they said their vows. And it is also the birthday of someone who is very near and dear to me and whom I love very, very much, my darling daughter-in-law. So happy birthday all around. And happy Bastille Day to les Françaises. And happy wedding anniversary you crazy kids married low these many years, even though they're not listening. But still, it's the thought that counts. I have a missive from Joey. Build back up what Reagan tore down. On this day in history, July 14th, 1980, Ronald Reagan stood before a crowd in Detroit at the Republican convention and declared that he was determined to make America... Let me do that right. Make America great again. And that triggered Junior. Yeah, he made America great again, all right, by catering to the biggest of billionaires and bullshitters, because that's exactly what and for whom the Republican Party has stood for over the last 55 years, when you include Lewis Powell and his memo. Yeah. And, yeah, that was July 14th, 1980. And by August 1980, this is all editorial, this isn't part of Joey's journal. By August of 1980, Reagan would be standing at the fairgrounds in Neshoba County, Mississippi, giving his famous, infamous states' rights speech, and not so much dog whistling as bullhorning to the entire nation that he, Ronald Reagan, was a stone cold racist and would stand right there in Neshoba County, Mississippi, Philadelphia, Mississippi, where Schenck, Cheney, and Goodman had been murdered by the Klan and buried in an earthen dam, and that Ronald Reagan would give succor and give encouragement to white supremacy in 1980. And in many ways, that was the beginning of our modern problems. Here's Giraffe.
Well, there's no question about it. Ronald Reagan's slogan was racist, and all of his policies were geared toward the wealthy becoming extremely wealthy, while the middle class, poor, and indigent became even more so in the coming years. His policies took shots at minorities, college students, and the working class as he attacked union workers in his attempt to destroy the middle class while fostering the very wealthy in their attempts to become filthy rich. He raised taxes on the middle class more than a dozen times while giving endless tax cuts to the wealthy and corporations. His bullshit young buck remark and labeling those indigent receiving public assistance as welfare queens was so openly racist.
Remember, his first act in office was to tax the tips of servers in restaurants. Also among his first acts was to order the removal of solar panels from the roof of the White House. I interrupted, though. Jeffrey continues.
Only for Reagan to turn around and give endless subsidies to the financially rich and corporations. These were the real welfare queens. Then Reagan telling us how these tax cuts would all eventually just trickle down to the middle class. This never happened, and since Reagan was in office, the middle class has gone from representing 66% of the country now down to 45% of the country. And this was what
Make America Great was all about.
Destroying the middle class and shitting all over children, college students, unions, and working class people. Maybe America can become great again with programs such as the Inflation Act and the Infrastructure Act or the CHIPS Act, all programs aimed at actually rebuilding America and its middle class rather than tearing it down. President Joe Biden is actually making America great again after tear down that wall Ronald Reagan tore down what really made this country great.
Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Good job. I'm sure Robin has discussed her disgust. Yeah, I see what you did there. For Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah, Tommy Tubervillers, we call him Mr. Potato Head because a tuber is a potato.
Well, that is correct, Junior. Tuber is a plant that mainly grows underground. Potatoes and yams are tubers, and they are delicious with a little butter and salt.
Some of us like cinnamon and sugar and maybe even maple syrup with our sweet potatoes. And butter. We love to grow tubers down under in Australia, and they're so good season, says Joey too.
Well, that's correct, Joey. Two tubers are wonderful with some seasoning, and Tommy Tuberville needs a lot of seasoning, and everything he does and says should be taken with a big grain of salt, as he's a despicable racist. Tuberville made millions as a football coach, literally on the back of many blacks that played the game of football, but instead of trying to make black lives better, he stands with the racist colony that wishes to stomp all over black people and minorities.
A tuber is a plant that is exactly what Tommy Tuberville is, a plant for the Republicans.
Well, yes, he's a plant in Alabama, just like Herschel Walker would have been in neighboring Georgia.
No, Daddy, Herschel Walker was not only a Republican plant, he was also a vegetable. Good job, guys. Happy belated birthday to our horn correspondent, Darlene, in Connecticut, as her birthday was yesterday, the 13th of July. Yes, Darlene, very happy birthday to you. Darlene really brings amazing content continually to the horn, and all of us really enjoy her thought-provoking narratives and factual renderings. Happy 39th birthday, Darlene. Speaking of July 13th, it was on this day 100 years ago that the famous Hollywood sign was erected in Los Angeles. The sign originally said, read Hollywood Land. The 50-foot sign soon dropped the land part of the sign in favor of just Hollywood. Recently, Los Angeles Foothills resident and lawyer Billable Rick has attempted to have legislation offered up that would slightly alter the famous Hollywood sign, with a new sign reading Hollyweed. Groan. The llama is dying, Joey. The llama is dying. Poor thing may not make it down the hill. Ending with a high note, Giraffe says, I think this would be a great idea. I'd love to get up every day and get high and stay high all day long. I hope the legislature legislation in California passes this bill so we can have a real high sign.
So this has been Joey's Journal for a Friday on the Front Porch, the 14th day of July, 2023. With Giraffe looking up at the Hollywood sign and hoping for big changes to the sign and to this country. And thus, there is a $25 Hollyweed challenge on the table. And so if somebody will match that $25, we will be down to a fundraising goal of $1,450, because the entirety of this broadcast week remains unfunded. But thanks to everybody who got helped to get last week funded. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. And again, happy birthday, Darlene. Ralph's echoing the wish, sending you happy birthday wishes. And so it is Friday on the Front Porch. And here in fairly short order, we will go over to the over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table, around which we gather each and every Friday and discuss the news of the day. And by the way, if you have never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, please consider yourself welcome to join in the conversation, for you truly are. And we would love to have your voice added to the conversation. There's a button at headon.live. You just click on it. It'll carry you right over the river and through the woods, etc. But that having been said, well, there is no small amount of madness and mayhem to go into here. And thank you to Ralphs, and thank you to Jeremy. We are now down to 1440 to go on the trying to catch up with the week. I should tell you, and I don't think that, barring something really surprising, that there should be no interruption to the program next Monday, but I am tired. I'm back to Tennessee this weekend. There are things that still have to be done to get the house down there habitable. And
So this is going to be another one of those weekends, and if we can get caught up, it will be, or at least somewhat caught up. If we could knock down half of the fundraising hole, that would be tremendous. A full-on community-made miracle would be fantastic, and of course, by Monday, we will be past the halfway point of July, which blows my mind. How is it the summer goes so much damn faster than the winter does? I think there's actually some reality to my assertion. It's not just emotional. I think at least where Appalachia is concerned, it has something to do with the fact that a whole bunch of autumn and no small part of spring are much more like winter than they are decent weather. So we are, we're almost a month into official summer. I think probably the best place to start is the passage in the Congress today, or in the House of Representatives, I should say, of the National Defense Authorization Act. Usually, the NDAA passes relatively easily with bipartisan support, because one of the truisms of American politics has long been that one does not shit on the military because the folks back home don't like you to do that. But the maggot war on women and trans people has come home to roost in the military. Negotiators for both parties had hammered out an agreement that was going to pass with both Democratic and Republican votes. But the people who keep the weaker speaker's testicles in a mason jar in the freezer, they had other ideas. So the feedum carcass, and we still don't know, nor do we much care if Marginal Trailer Queen is a member thereof. But the feedum carcass offered up a bunch of shitty amendments, and the Republican Party passed the National Defense Authorization Act with entirely Republican votes and four Democrats, four. Because the maggots attacked diversity efforts inside the military, even though there is unanimous support for it among the brass. Because you need to have diversity, equity, and inclusion in a military, or else it becomes ineffective by virtue of the fact that, the military leadership and the military rank and file, the grunts, as they say, are not in sync. The maggots are also, once again, flexing their maggot muscles to make sure that every woman in America knows that they hate their guts, because this Defense Authorization Act forbids the Pentagon from providing travel reimbursement or downtime, leave time, to women who have to travel away from maggot states to states that are sane and still respect a woman's right to manage the reproductive workings of her body. And they went so far as to, that they also want to ban any kind of medical care for transgender members of the military. I hate to be talking about the issue so early in the program, but here we are. I didn't cause this. They did. Because they're...
Because hate is what the Republican Party has now. That's it.
It was a nasty piece of political theater, but it now means that something that passed almost routinely will have to go to conference committee. It would have anyway. The Senate is not going to let them get away with this. One hopes. And so there will be a conference committee to finalize the details of the NDAA. Now, I know in the past, on our side, it has been sort of fashionable to pick apart the NDAA, and for damn good reasons over the years. But at this point in time, I feel compelled to support what the Democrats want and what they're doing, even though I am pro-peace. Because we are not going to turn back the clock. Women will continue to join and to be willing to serve their country, serve for their country. And trying to drive them out by taking away needed health care, because abortion is health care. We know that, right? Ain't gonna wash. And when you consider the number of trans people in computer and tech sectors, you better have some trans care inside the military, so that you can take care of all the little nyanya ooh-woo cat girl stripy socks trans girls who are over there in Space Force. And in other IT areas of the military. The bill, in fact, $886 billion worth of it, passed 219 to 210. Had all the Democrats voted against it, it would have been, get this, 215 to 214. Kind of like to know who the four Democrats were. Henry Cuellar is almost certainly one of them, who voted in favor of the bill, who voted in favor of taking necessary health care away from women who are members of the military and away from trans people who are members of the military. I'd like to know who those four are. People who know this better than I say that this version of the bill will be DOA in the Senate. Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey said on a conference call today, alongside Representative Chrissy Houlihan, both of those are former members of the military, to have House Speaker Republican Kevin McCarthy allow extremists to load up this bill with their wish list of extremist agenda items so that we can't in good faith pass this because we know it would harm the lives of service women and service members' families is just a horrible place to be in. I don't think in good conscience either one of us feel that we should vote this through because of the damage it does to those who serve.
But they offered up, the maggots offered up amendment after amendment after amendment, and, well, there's a pretty good look at what the Republican carcass looks like. They passed almost all of them. And make no mistake, without DEI in the military, recruiting for the military is only going to get harder. Let's see if we can find out the name here. Yeah, there we are. Maybe. The Democratic yes votes were Representative Don Davis of North Carolina, Stan Jared Golden of Maine, Marie Glusenkamp Perez of Washington, and Gabe Vasquez of New Mexico. Well, son of a gun, how about that? Henry Cuellar wasn't there. Four Republicans voted against it. Andy Biggs, maggot, Ken Buck, maggot, Eli Crane, maggot of Arizona, and Thomas Massey, maggot of Kentucky. Massey also being quite the dweeb because he got told to shut up and then shut up. Got told to shut up by AOC. And yes, ma'am. The Senate had voted 58-1. The Armed Services Committee, the House Armed Services Committee, I'm sorry, voted 58-1 to advance the bill last month. You didn't need to hear that. Pollen. No, 58-1 out of House Armed Services, but that was before the maggots got hold of it and started amending it. And so, they're going to fight the culture war in the military. And maybe some of them are motivated by the fact that, affirmative action decision announced at the end of June, our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties declared that, well, we can't do anything about affirmative action at the military academies because we've been told that that would really fuck up the military, so we're not going to deal with that right now. Which, of course, was a giant tell for the fact that the Supreme Court just wanted to hurt some people. The maggots are having a high old time now. They're hopping up and down and squealing and throwing poo at each other. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania said, "We're here to tell you today that this is a huge victory. A week ago, this bill to many of us looked untenable, and so it has improved dramatically by shitting on women and trans people." And DEI. Now, with bipartisan support, a number of amendments related to trying to fuck over Ukraine were rejected. So now it heads over to the Senate, and the Senate will take it up, and then they will pass something, and it will go to conference committee, at which time one hopes, hope in one hand, I know, one hopes that the more odious parts of this will be excised. Mikey Sherrill went on and said, "My hope and prayers are that this won't stand, and I believe it won't. Hopefully this stuff will cool off and cooler heads will prevail, and then conference will end up resolving this." You know, our dear friend John Bridivo is a veteran. Subject: defense bill. Offer a big pay raise on a bill they know won't pass. Stay tuned for ads from the GOP about Dems not supporting our troops. I would not be surprised. I hope to hear from you during the front porch, John. I hope that really was you. Yeah, it was really you. Good. They can message on it all day long. But I think Hakeem Jeffries, who is proving to be an orator of considerable force and power, Hakeem Jeffries made it abundantly clear why his caucus would not support it. I guess those four Quislings have their own reasons for why they voted to fuck over women and trans people and programs to be more inclusive of minorities. Only one of the four Democrats who voted for this noxious bill was a woman. Gabe Vasquez, Jared Golden, and Don Davis, of course, are all men who have no clue what it can mean to a woman to be pregnant when she does not want to be. And then there's the Senate. And anytime something important is going through the Senate, I always wonder what kind of dirty deal, what kind of beak wetting Joe to the Manchin Bourne will want from it.
You give me another pipeline through West Virginia and I might vote for it.
So venal. So disgusting. We know every maggot will vote against it. Even, you know, precious Lindsey Graham, who claims to be such a stalwart defender of the military. I think we'll find out he's not. Now, this is not particularly earth-shaking, but it is indicative of just who the maggots are. Introducing Representative Eli Crane of Arizona. A maggot. This happened during the debate over the stupid bigoted amendments to the NDAA. And as the evening wore on, he offered up an amendment and then proceeded to say the quiet part out loud. Stepping to the rostrum, he said, he had a hissy, saying that the NDAA should ban the military from requiring training in, quote, certain race-based concepts. Eli Crane said, "My amendment has nothing to do with whether or not colored people or black people or anybody can serve, okay? It has nothing to do with the color of your skin or any of that stuff." Well, that caused Representative Jim McGovern of Massachusetts to get on Twitter and say, and it's almost like Jim must listen to the program. Hi, Congressman McGovern. He said, "The GOP isn't even hiding the racism anymore." No, they're not. And so Eli Crane, realizing the hole he was in, decided to stop digging. I said, "In a heated floor debate on my amendment that would prohibit discrimination on the color of one's skin in the armed forces, I misspoke. Every one of us is made in the image of God and created equal."
Yeah.
Ah, you said the quiet part out loud, Eli. And, you know, Jim McGovern's right. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. I guess they watch things like, oh, monkey up to Clantis's Florida and think that the rest of the country is like that, too. And, of course, Crane comes from a crazy place, too, Arizona Stan. And probably thinks the rest of the country is as full of hate and vitriol and poison and racism as, you know, he is. McGovern actually did kind of go off in advance of the votes yesterday. McGovern is the senior most Democratic Party member of the Rules Committee in the House. And he went after, well, he said, it's outrageous that a tiny minority of Republicans is getting to dictate exactly what amendments come to the floor. Kevin McCarthy may be the MAGA ringmaster, but it is clear that the clowns have taken over the circus. He said that MAGA wingnuts threw a fit and hijacked the NDAA. Because they did. Well, Ralph's, let me know. I know Ralph's sister is up in Maine. And Ralph said, I emailed my sister about him. If you get any kind of an answer back from your sis, please let us know. I'd like to understand what could make a Democrat go against 206 others of his own caucus. And this guy sits on the House Armed Services Committee, Jared Golden does. I wonder how unhappy Hakeem Jeffries and Jim McGovern are about what he did. But as I said, Hakeem Jeffries himself did not hide his light under a bushel. Oh, there he is. I knew Henry Cuellar had to be in the mix somewhere. Yeah, Henry Cuellar voted along with the maggots on the amendment to forbid the Pentagon to reimburse service members who travel to obtain abortion care. The clown who introduced that hateful bullshit was none other than Representative Ronnie the Candyman Jackson, who kept Nitwit Nero wasted out of his mind for 4 years. And Henry Cuellar also jumped in there. He is a sack of shit, Henry Cuellar is, in voting in favor of the amendment to block the Department of Defense from covering gender-affirming care. Hakeem Jeffries said, extreme MAGA Republicans have chosen to hijack the historically bipartisan National Defense Authorization Act to continue attacking reproductive freedom and jamming their right-wing ideology down the throats of the American people. He is correct. Ralph says Golden was in the military. In those remarks, Hakeem Jeffries was joined by Democratic Whip Catherine Clark of Massachusetts and Caucus Chair Pete Aguiar of California. They went on, the House Democratic leadership did, to say, House Republicans have turned what should be a meaningful investment in our men and women in uniform into an extreme and reckless legislative joyride. The bill undermines a woman's freedom to seek abortion care, targets the rights of LGBTQ+ service members, and bans books that should otherwise be available to military families. There are book bans in the NDAA. Gee, I wonder what those might be. Meanwhile, Ro Khanna of California said, I was the only person to vote no on committee out of 59 on the bloated defense bill. It was 58 to 1. After amendments attacking abortion rights and trans rights, looks like my Dem colleagues may join me. Sometimes it's okay to stand alone on principle. Marge, meanwhile, said yesterday that she intended to vote no when her motion to strike $300 million in Ukraine aid from the NDAA, it went down in flames, and Marge was having a pissy hissy fit. 49 Democrats did vote yay on an amendment that failed. That was offered up. 49 Democrats voted yay on an amendment offered by marginal trailer queen. Y'all, because they wanted to ban the government from selling or transferring cluster munitions to Ukraine. Ilhan Omar was among that number. Pramila Jayapal, Jim McGovern. I understand their sentiments, but if that's all we got left that stands between Ukraine and the rape of Ukraine by Mother Moscovy, and it's being used on Ukrainian soil where ostensibly Ukrainian forces, after the defeat of Russia, can go through and clean them up, while a hard decision, well, I feel really weird saying that it was an understandable decision. But Jesus, if the choice is send them the cluster bombs or watch Ukraine fall, which one? Which one? A little program note along the way. It's thundering outside. We know what it happened. We know what happened last night when it thundered. We lost a chunk of the program. Damn it. So, again, preemptively, if I'm talking and suddenly I just stop talking in mid-sentence, you will know that Chantel and Appalachian Power have run under the bed like a terrified chihuahua and are down under the bed, shivering like they're trying to shit peach pits. Meanwhile, Democrats did make clear their disapproval. Representative Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, chair of the Congressional Equality Caucus, said, they showed their complete disregard for our LGBTQ plus service members by adopting amendments that strip medically necessary care from transgender service members and their families, censor LGBTQ plus service members by prohibiting the display of pride flags, and ban books that include transgender people or discuss gender identity. These writers cannot stand, and my colleagues and I will use every tool to get them removed during conference. Meanwhile, Barbara Lee said, in case you missed it, Republicans cut my amendments to rein in Pentagon spending, to address price gouging by defense contractors, and to repeal the 2002 authorization for the use of military force. But they did include amendments that restrict abortion, attack LGBTQ plus service members, and prevent climate action. And so here we are. And it probably will get cleaned up at least somewhat in committee. But remember, Tommy the Tuber will be there braying somewhere along the way, because these things are exactly why he's holding up hundreds of non-political military promotions and fucking over the brass and keeping the Marine Corps from having a commandant for the first time since 1910. And screw it, because senior officers serve in senior positions for a limited period of, you know, an express limited period of time. and their change of command is a regularly scheduled event. But because he's holding up these promotions, Tommy the Tuberville is preventing them from fucking happening. And the people of Alabama are proud of him for it. I got an idea. And this is just out there, but it'd be curious to see if anybody says it besides me. Because we develop ideas here that other larger outlets somehow eventually get around to. So here it is. If these maggots don't want women who need abortion care to have abortions, then maybe we should shut down the military installations in the states that prevent women from getting necessary abortion care. Goodbye, all those bases in Texas. Goodbye, any federal government installations in Mississippi, Stan. Goodbye, forts in Alabama and Georgia. Goodbye, forts in South Carolina and North Carolina. Move the Jacksonville Naval Air Station the hell out of Florida. And watch all of that Pentagon money leave all of those shitty states and explain to them that they're only getting what they asked for. So that women who need abortion care in the United States military won't have to travel to get the said abortion care. So what y'all wanted, here's what you get. Here's your sign, as that comedian said. So like I said, it seemed an appropriate place to start the program this evening. We are down to $1,440 in fundraising Joey's Hollyweed challenge having been met. And we are $60 toward getting this past Monday fully funded. And in search of a Horn community-made miracle this afternoon. And into the weekend. It would be great if we could do that. Maybe we can try. Just some random stuff as we prepare to go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree. This is just disgusting. The Ambassador Cruise Lines ship Ambition arrived in Tórshavn in the Faroe Islands between Scotland, Iceland, and Norway in the North Atlantic within the last couple of days. And their 1,000 passengers or so were horrified to realize that they were arriving there smack dab in the middle of a whale slaughter. The arrival of the Ambition coincided, the cruise line said, with the culmination of a hunt of 40-plus pilot whales in the port area. "We were incredibly disappointed," Ambassador said, "that this hunt occurred at the time that our ship was in port. We strongly object to this outdated practice. How about brutal practice? How about hateful practice? And have been working with our partner Orca, a charity dedicated to studying and protecting whales, dolphins, and porpoises in UK and European waters, to encourage change since 2021. Meanwhile, the government of the Faroe Islands says, as has been the case for centuries, whaling still occurs in the Faroe Islands today. The Faroese have eaten pilot whale meat and blubber since they first settled the islands over a millennium ago. Today, as in times past, the whale drive is a community activity open to all, while also well organized on a community level and regulated by national laws. Ambassador is still apologizing. The water of the bay turned literally blood red with the slaughter. The Faroe Islands is trying to save their people because it's like, y'all suck. The meat and blubber from the hunt is distributed equally among those who have participated. Hunting and killing methods have been improved to ensure as little harm to the whales as possible. Oh, you're kidding me! Now, I'm not Little Miss PETA member or anything. By any stretch of the imagination. But whale hunting is just barbarous. There is not... unless you are Inuit or other Arctic level indigenous people with a few millennia, not one millennium, history of killing the occasional whale and having a belief system that centers on the gratitude of the exchange. Now then, fuck right off. Faroe Islands and Japan too. And what in the... when you're talking about killing a whale, a pilot whale, when you're talking about killing a whale, what in God's name does killing methods have been improved to ensure as little harm to the whales as possible? As little harm? You're killing them, you fuck! All hunters must now obtain a hunting license in order to kill a whale. Oh, well, here we go. If one thing slows the Faroe Islands down, it will be the fact that they have acknowledged that, well, pollution of the water means that these pilot whales may have a shit ton of mercury and PCBs in them. And they went on to complain that ocean pollution by heavy industries and industrialized agriculture has resulted in the pollution of whales, which we still eat. And there's plenty of whales. Records of all pilot whale hunts have been kept since 1584, and the practice is deemed sustainable, as there are an estimated 778,000 whales in the eastern North Atlantic region. Approximately 100,000 swim close to the Faroe Islands, and the Faroese hunt on average 800 pilot whales annually. They killed 78 on the Sunday when the tourist ship, the Ambition, arrived. Stephen, New York, notes, killing whales or anything else, if you don't need it for food or to stay warm, you don't need it. Matt in San Francisco, dead whales. See, that's where I am, Matt. Last time I checked, killing whales is harmful to whales. Now let's run through the little stupid survey and find out what people think. Oh, well, do you personally agree or disagree with the notion that whale hunting is an outdated practice? 68% agree, 12% are neutral, 18% disagree, and 2% just wanted to get to the next screen, damn it. We are a... Sometimes our big primate brains just aren't as helpful as they need to be. And from the Let Them Eat Cake files, yes, 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 before someone writes in and says, Marie Antoinette didn't say that, she said, why do they not have bread? No. Then let them eat brioche. That's what she said. She was just clueless. From the Let Them Eat Cake files, we have a Jamie Dimon sighting. Yeah, CEO of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, says that if people don't want to have a long commute into the office, they need to go to work somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He is at the forefront of what is referred to as the back-to-the-office movement. You see, a lot of people during the pandemic found out that it's a lot better to work from home than it is to schlep into some godforsaken office tower in the city every day. And they are resistant to the idea of being forced back into it. You know, in any office environment, there's somebody that you just fucking hate. And every day, not him. His own staffers are like, boss, you're wrong. So now, speaking to the Economist, Jamie Dimon said, I completely understand why. Yes, I'm using the Jeffrey voice because it's also the Thurston Howell III voice, the G.I. Love Money voice, the J.P. Gottrocks voice. Well, I completely understand why someone doesn't want to commute an hour and a half every day. Totally got it. Doesn't mean they have to have a job here either. There are just some positions that can't be done remotely. It doesn't work for younger kids and apprenticeships. It doesn't really work for creativity and spontaneity. It doesn't really work for management teams. There are real flaws. And then this. We're not going to make that decision because we're pandering to employees. That's not the way to build a great company. I don't know how you can be a leader and not be completely accessible to your people. I do not believe you can be a leader and not be accessible to your people.
Well, I think the world is going to... Or at least the American workers will probably have a say in all of this. Working from home is not as awesome as it seems. I've been doing it since 2005. And it's sometimes it can be a challenge. Like when you hear a distant peal of thunder and everything you're doing goes gone. Because, well, actual professional work sites often have actual professional technical crew who can keep the internet and the power on. What they're really worrying about, though, people like Jamie Dimon, is what's happening to their real estate holdings. Because remote work has significantly reduce the need and the demand for office space, which means that something around $800 billion of real estate value in major cities all around the world may just disappear in a puff of dust. Yeah. And of course, as Matt in San Francisco has remarked, that, you know, that's one of the things that's hammering San Francisco right now. Great big empty office towers. But what are the chances that those values were inflated to begin with? I'd say pretty high. Yes. GI Love Money is, in fact, Randy Radar from Parker Brothers, The Game of... No, Milton Bradley. Scott would have known. Yeah, Milton Bradley's The Game of Life. J.P. Gottrocks is from The Flintstones. And, of course, Thurston Howell III is from Gilligan's Island. Lee writes in, let them eat whale. Lee, living near Carville in New York City. It's a Fudgy the Whale cake. An ice cream cake sold by Carville. There's also Hug Me the Bear and Cookie Puss. Hmm? Yes. Fudgy the Whale, it looks like about the only kind of whale that I would care to eat. And this, by the way, thanks to Tommy the Tuber, is the longest time in American history that the Marines have not had a person in the office of commandant. Emilio with a question. But Robin, Appalachian Power, why is the power over there so bad? Aren't those private, for-profit companies highly motivated to have much better service than the evil government ever could? / end anti-libertarian snark. Oh, yeah, the free market will sort it all out. Brother Deacon, what do you know from an orca, Kincaid? You hate PETA anyway. There it is. I'm not little Miss PETA or anything. They need whale oil for their lanterns, you fascist! God, I'm not even a neoliberal. Shill. I've been demoted to fascist. Thanks, Brother Deacon. Let's see if we. Let's find out if we're going to have a Friday on the front porch. I feel like we need a rousing conversation this evening to wrap up the week. Remember this ironclad maxim, Steve in New York reminds us, nature bats last. We're in the top of the ninth. I think I'm connected now. Let me... Why is my camera on? Let me get the little gizmo hooked up to the iPad. Ta-da! Okay. But anyway, as Steve was saying, nature bats last. We're in the top of the ninth. We're losing 10-1 after we hit a 500-foot home run and think we've just pulled even. The Earth was here for billions of years before us. All the forest fires, extreme weather, etc. will kill us before it does nature. Nature will kill us. Then when we're gone, the Earth will get back to fixing itself and will never let us back. It is my honest view that the Earth is not just a cool bit of celestial molten rock. It's more alive than we think and is more aware than we might imagine. All this extreme weather and other crazy events are just Earth's way of colon cleansing. You and I share a common opinion in that regard, Steve. Because I think the planet is alive, too. We know now that the trees in the forest communicate with each other through their root structures. Tolkien was probably a lot more prophetic than he knew in his creation of the ants in Lord of the Rings. The whole planet's alive. Yes, it is. Okay. We would be 10 minutes past the halfway point of the program now, but of course I was a half an hour late. But let's go over the river and through the woods and check in on the old holler tree and see who's gathered around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Hey, Roger, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Not very many other people, but I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you are. I see, Jeremy as well. Hopefully more people will wander in. Or maybe everybody just thought that I took the week, took an early weekend. I didn't.
Well, I did ring the entire group and got a whole bunch of unavailable replies. You know, the automated John Doe is unavailable for the call, blah, blah.
Right.
It's getting warm here. We're going to have about a three-day run of over 100 degrees.
We made it to 90 today here.
Ah, Ken just showed up.
Yeah, hey, Ken. And by the way, I should add, if you can't get in on the into the Skype group, the stress line is available, and I do answer it, and I will try not to forget anybody that's on there. That's 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And that'll get you to be part of the group, too. So, I mean, is heat like that damaging for your agrarian undertakings?
Oh, the scarlet runner bees just don't like, they like to flower, but they won't set fruit in this temperature. You've got to wait for it to cool down before the bean harvest really happens. But I've gotten all my garlic cured and most of it braided up. And
Would you enlighten me? What does garlic curing involve?
Well, when you grow garlic, it comes up with this stalk of onion type, you know, fronds on it, and it grows nice and green and all that. And then as you progress into summer, some of those start dying off. And when the bottom three have kind of turned brown, that's an indication that you want to dig them because your bulbs aren't going to get much bigger after that, and it's starting to die off. So you dig them up. You can't just pull them because the roots are too deep. And then you hang them in a shady spot and let the air blow over it for a while until the tops continue to die back and turn brown. And then with softneck garlic, you can braid them. And I like to braid them while there's still a little bit of green in the tops because they're a bit more limber and don't break as much when you braid them. But with hardneck garlic, that's the one that sends up that a flower stalk. Some hard necks you can braid and some you can't. I had one variety of hard neck this year that I could braid because they were still soft enough. But the other variety of hard neck I grew was just, the stalks were just too stiff. So I've just had to cut them off and store them loose. But it's a process of letting them finish drying and getting the tops to fully dry. And theoretically, if you hang them bulb down, more liquid goes back into the cloves and plumps them up, whereas if you hang them upside down, some of the moisture can go out into the fronds, and you'll get smaller bulbs. But the other argument is that when you let some of that moisture drain out into the tops, they'll keep longer because they're a little bit drier, whereas if you dry them up flat on the ground or right side up, they won't last as long in storage. So I don't know. It, you know, everybody's got their old wives' tale about what works best. But that's the curing process, is just letting them finish drying. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. So once you've got everything dried, will you just leave them in the braids that way? Or are you going to can some of them or what?
Well, the braids are a couple of people. I'm going to this high school reunion in August, and my ex-wife has asked for some garlic, so I'm going to be bringing that with me, getting it into California by hook or by crook. But, you know, you get all the dirt off. You know, a lot of people hang them in the kitchen as decoration, and then they use them, you know, they cut them off the braid and peel them out like you would a store-bought bulb of garlic to get your cloves. Some of it, when I first dug it, I peeled it out real quick, and I always ferment a couple of pints of both garlic and shallots in honey, which is a very
That sounds amazing.
It's a little on the risky side, and you got to shake them every day and let the gases escape and all the rest of it. You can blow your jar up, and fortunately, I have this sink out in the mother-in-law unit that I can set the stuff in the sink, because no matter how you do it, you always seem to get some honey flowing out, you know, bubbling up and flowing out the jar, and getting your counter all sticky, and that draws ants. But I've got a sink that I can set that in, and then I come out and burp them every day and shake them. And, but I got to shake them every day for about 2 months or you get mold in them. Because the acidity is low, you've got the botulism potential, but it's also an alcohol ferment, as opposed to the salt ferment. So anyhow, it's the FDA doesn't recommend you do it, but people have been doing it for thousands of years, and it's still a thing to do. And the shallots are a little bit nicer. My wife prefers the shallots and garlic, shallots and honey, rather than the garlic and honey. But in the winter, when you're feeling a bit down, a tablespoon or two of the honey mixed in with tea gives it a sweetness and some essence of garlic, which is always good for whatever ails you. So that's sort of what I've got going now. I'm planting my fall garden, because the snow peas and all of that have died off, and the first couple of plantings of radishes have already gone through the salad bowl. But I'm planting the other stuff.
And for anybody who doesn't know, there is not a store-bought radish cannot hold a candle to a garden fresh radish. It is just it's an entirely different experience.
I was going to say that, because I remember when, and I'm sorry to
interrupt.
Hey,
Steve.
Hey, I was going to say, because I remember my grandma used to, I always thought they tasted like they were hot and kind of bitter and yucky, but I've heard that the fresh ones are way different.
Well, there's no better salad than going out in the garden about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and grabbing a head of lettuce, picking a couple of tomatoes, a lemon cucumber.
Oh, Roger, you're
killing me. I know.
Now this is food porn.
Bring them into the house and process them. And you want to make the salad early enough to where you can put it in the fridge to get it nice and cool before you serve it. But, you know, it takes about an hour to pick everything, process it, put it in the fridge, let it sit in the fridge for an hour, bring it out, put it on the table.
Oh, my God. That just sounds heavenly. Fucking heavenly.
Yeah, I know.
And I've got some tomatoes set.
Okay.
They're still green. Just rub it in. They're still baseballs.
Keep rubbing it in. Go ahead.
It's coming.
Keep at it.
Hey, Roger, do you ever raise any daikon?
No, I haven't.
There is I discovered this one little thing one time. I was in D.C., little Japanese restaurant in Chinatown, and they did they called it sashimi beef. So it was seared on all sides and then paper thin sliced, so it was basically raw in the middle. It was a piece of filet. And they served it with a paste that was made of daikon radish ground, along with a little bit of hot sauce, and I think togarashi seasoning. And you just put a little tiny dot of that and use your chopsticks to roll it up, and just bloop, you pop the little morsel. And it was a flavor like nothing I've ever known before. And I know people are going to go, well, that doesn't sound fun. Because when you got to that daikon paste, it was like little needles in your tongue. And
well,
it was fantastic.
I've enjoyed the pickled radish that you get at most Japanese restaurants, which I think is made with a daikon radish.
Oh, you mean the pickled ginger?
No,
the pink
pickled
stuff?
Radish.
Not
well, it's pink, but it's radish, too. They make it with radish.
Hmm.
Not just ginger. Anyhow, I've had that in the back of my mind for one of these years to try and figure out how to plant the right item and figure out how to make that.
If someone truly knows how to make a banh mi sandwich, it has to have that pickled radish on it.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday.
Gotta be Chris.
Is that you, Christopher?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Happy
Hi,
Happy Friday. Great to hear from you. And you
great to hear
and
from you.
And you said the magic word because the duck just dropped down. You said banh mi because, oh, God, I love banh mis.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little.
I found a place in Portland, and I haven't tried it yet, but I'm thinking about going there maybe sometime this weekend.
Well, of all the place. Ferg and Courtney's house is in a tiny little town in northeast Tennessee, and of all the things that they don't have, they do have a pho place, and they have banh mi's in northeast Tennessee. So I've kind of promised myself a banh mi this weekend.
You deserve it.
Oh, I mean, and then the fiery little chilies, yeah. And the shredded carrots.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the lemongrass? Oh. What do you like?
Oh, I love lemongrass. You can't really chew lemongrass, though. It's more like
it's lemongrass seasoned like pork, I think, maybe, or lamb.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Thinly sliced.
And my dear Thai friend who has a food truck here, anytime I'm feeling puny, I write to her and say, would you please make me a quart of tom yum soup, Thai hot? And there's always several sticks of lemongrass floating in that, and just, oh, the flavor.
And if you get Thai hot, that's serious.
Oh,
that's really serious.
Oh, Christopher, it's brutal. And brutally delicious.
And I love those the Vietnamese meatball.
Yes, 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 yes.
However they make that,
I always get that. I always get that in my pho, and I also get some Vietnamese places won't do it, but the really old school ones will. There's a chain in the D.C. area that Chris in Germany turned me on to called Pho 75. The 75 being the year that this family immigrated from Vietnam, fled Vietnam.
And you can order your pho, and they will bring you a plate of raw eye of round, just thinly sliced. And the pho is so freaking hot, it's literally almost boiling, that you take that raw beef and put it, add it to your soup, and it cooks immediately.
Mm-hmm. It cooks perfectly,
and
right?
Yes.
So it's not and tough.
Oh, it's so tender.
Robin?
Yes, Steve?
Again, you said they immigrated from Vietnam, but you talk about Thai hot.
Two different people.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah,
okay.
my friend here with the cuisines. My friend okay. here.
We've been going back and forth.
Yeah, my friend here with the food truck is Thai. The folks with Pho 75 are Vietnamese.
Banh Mi is Vietnamese. Okay.
Banh Mi is Vietnamese.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought when you said Thai food truck, I thought, wait a minute, I thought it was a Vietnamese restaurant. So I've got them mixed up.
And she does another Thai dish. I don't know if you've ever had this or not, Christopher, called Lob Mo.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
It's a seasoned ground pork with like some onions and garlic and stuff, ginger. Yeah. And you can wrap it up in like a little piece of romaine. Oh.
Oh man, that's good stuff. Those lettuce wraps are fantastic.
No, you really got things going here, Christopher. You doing okay?
Yeah. Everything's good. Weather's nice. So Roger, maybe I have to work all day tomorrow, but I'm thinking about getting to the coast on Sunday. The coast is usually going to be at least 20 degrees cooler.
The coast last weather forecast I saw last night supposed to be around 65.
How about that? It's going to be 100 by you?
Yeah. We're at 100 right now.
Shit. What am I at? 88.
Well, let me put it this way. When I walked out of the house to come out here to the mother-in-law unit, it was at 98 degrees. And I was out working this morning, and I made the mistake of setting up sawhorses in the sun. And finally, I managed to make enough room in my little workshop area behind the mother-in-law unit to get in the shade. It was brutal.
Wow. Yeah, you're 10 degrees hotter than I am. Wow.
And it's supposed to stay that way for the next couple of days. Now, we cooled down to high 50s at night, low 60s. But days are getting hot. I'm going to have to start watering every day instead of every other day.
Wow, we're sitting at a cool 80 right now, and we're not supposed to get much more than that over the next 10 days.
Well, this heat dome is all the way down the Pacific, not really right on the coast, but Oregon, Washington, California, and then it crosses over into Phoenix and gets into Texas. And, of course, includes Nevada. I mean, Las Vegas is cooking.
Hey, Steve, have the Canoodleans, have they stopped sending all their smoke your way?
Yeah, you know what? Our air has actually been pretty decent. We've been in the the AQI got down into around 50 the other day, which is in the good range. So it hasn't been terrible. Actually, no, it's not only not been terrible, it's been pretty good. So.
But congratulations.
Yeah, it's I shouldn't have to be thankful for air. No, but we should be fucking taking care of our house, meaning Earth.
Yeah, I think slaughtering whales doesn't count as that. Man, that's a horrible freaking story, man.
No, V'ger's going to come back and kick our ass. There's our Star Trek reference.
Yes! Yeah. Yeah.
The AQI here in Eugene, depending on where they're sampling, is between 12 and 22.
Is that based on the 500 scale or is that other scale?
That's the 2.5 scale.
Yeah, that's a different scale. It incorporates basically three different I don't know how it works. I actually I read something and tried to understand it. It's above my pay grade. But I get where you're coming from.
I I came up with some new information that might be of benefit to, I think there's one more veteran in the crowd. I've been wearing glasses for a lot of years, and God, when you go get new glasses and get progressive lenses and transition lenses and all the rest of that, that's a $500, $600 for a pair of glasses. And I was chatting with the doctor at my annual physical, complaining about the fact that I had to get new glasses, And he looked at me and says, how come you don't have the VA make your glasses? Boy, I didn't know that that was possible. Oh, yeah. So I went to the walk-in clinic with my brand new prescription, actually written the same day I walked into the VA clinic up here. And walked in. The girl did everything that people do downtown. And, you know, there's some frames over there. Pick out the ones you want. Put them on. Put little dots through the center of your eye. And measured your eyes and all that. Not measured in the sense of how far apart they are and that kind of stuff. And, yeah, you'll get your glasses in about a month. They'll show up in the mailbox. Bring them in if they don't fit right. No cost.
That's great. That's the way it should be.
So if you know of a veteran who's wearing glasses and complaining about having to spend money to get glasses, tell them to cruise into their VA, and if they've got one available to them, and get your glasses. And my understanding is they will also do the refraction test, although because of my macular degeneration, that was all being taken care of otherwise. But even Medicare doesn't pay for the prescription, the examination for your prescription. That's on you. But the VA apparently will do the refraction, i.e. create your prescription, and then kick out free glasses if you've got VA medical. And I asked the girl here, and she said, oh, I've been here 8 years, and we've been doing it. Shit, nobody ever told me about it. So now I've been told about it, now I'm passing the information on. Don't ever get old. It's a pain in the ass.
Beats the daylights out of the alternative, though, Roger.
Too late.
Well, I agree walking on daisies is easier than and nicer than pushing them up, but since I have no idea.
Wait,
I like that.
Well, never
that's
heard
been
that
my
before,
standard man. Line. That's been my standard line for years. How are things going? Oh, pretty good. I'm walking on the daisies instead of pushing them up. But, boy, I'll tell you, trying to lose weight at this age and learning how to walk, not learning how to walk again, but starting to walk again and all the rest of it. Too bad Steve isn't here to talk about our walks. I'm down to about 22 minutes a mile and trying to get between a mile and a half and 2 miles every day. But that depends on how much yard work I do. If I do too much yard work and I'm too goddamn sore, I don't go for my evening walk. But anyhow. My sister's coming to visit. She's bringing my, I don't know, what do you call your niece's kid? A great nephew?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or a grandnephew.
Grandnephew. I guess I'm a great uncle and he's a grandnephew. Something of that sort.
Yeah, because, like, for instance, we're in the month of July, named for Julius Caesar. Oh, there she goes again. And the month of August will be named for is named for Augustus Caesar, because that's their two birth months. And Augustus Caesar was actually Octavian, who was adopted in Caesar's will as his son, but he was Caesar's grandnephew. He was the son of the daughter of Caesar's sister.
Hmm. Okay.
The kid, my sister's bringing this kid, who's her grandson. So it's my sister's daughter's son. So my sister's daughter, I'm her uncle. And she's my niece. Anyhow,
yeah,
it all
so
gets
he's,
down to the
so,
fact.
Yeah, so he's a grandnephew.
It all gets down to the fact that my Spitfire in my will goes to my niece as the only biological member of the family, next generation down after my sister and I. But he just got his learner's permit. So he's coming up here with Granny, and Granny drives a stick shift car. Mommy and Daddy don't drive a stick shift car. Granny does. So Aiden, that's his name, is going to get some parking lot activity with my Triumph Spitfire while he's here this weekend, which I figure should entice him thoroughly. Chris, you've seen my car.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
He's going to get to drive it, but only in a parking lot. I'm not going to let him drive it on the street.
And don't let him near any of the light standards.
No, no, this parking lot
that we're going to
is a totally, I mean, it's really an empty parking lot in the sense of parking lot hazards. The closest thing is if he jumps the sidewalk and goes through some trees and he could fall in the Willamette River. But he's not going to do that.
Yeah, I always think of Ferris Bueller's buddy in Ferris Bueller's Day Off talking about his dad and his vintage Ferrari. All he ever does is polish it with a diaper.
Well, don't knock diapers. They are some of the best
absorbent cloths
around. There's a whole lot of people that when backpacking, you don't take a regular towel or anything with you. You take a diaper, an old diaper. And it's super absorbent. They dry really quick. And they're nice and soft and super light. And they're the best backpacking towel I've ever found. Of course, that's another thing I used to do and don't do it anymore.
Backpacking.
Yeah.
Hey, Robin, I know you've been doing quite a bit of hiking. I know I've been hiking my ass off the last few weeks. What I've found is what I'm in desperate need of is a walking stick, a quality walking stick, maybe even two.
Is there any you could recommend? Yes. Yeah. There are actually – they resemble ski poles.
Okay.
And they are – quite popular. You can find them like REI, places like that. And they are literally walking sticks, walking poles. And
yeah,
I think I need at least one. Use them like you would use ski sticks.
Well, then I'll get two of them.
Yeah, they use
Google
yeah.
trekking poles.
Yeah, there we go, trekking poles.
Malloy
was telling me on one of the days when we were chatting, he said some of his neighbors, he saw they go out for their walks, and he saw them using those in their evening walks around the neighborhood, and he's like, "Damn, that looks brilliant!" And so he got a pair, and he loves it.
Yeah, because I came across these really steep stairs. It was a shortcut. I was getting tired, and I was starving, and I just wanted to get to my car, and I saw, oh, it's only a third of a mile to the, you know, back to the car if I take this route.
Straight uphill.
Yeah, very treacherous and a long way down if you misstep one of those steps, and very steep. And I was like, oh,
You know that feeling when you feel like your stomach just fell?
Like how the hell am I gonna get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, like,
helicopter, please.
Like when you look down over from a great height. I just had that when you mentioned at a long way down if you misstep, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it. Was
and my stomach
scary.
Went. Ooh.
Yes, but and I was like, and then after the ordeal, and I finally got down there, I was like, damn it, you need a walking stick. That's what you need.
Oh, my God. Cowbell. Wait a minute. That's for Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, diaper. It's really tough to get the baby to stay still in the backpack. Matt says, try the veal. Oh, Matt will be here all night. Try the veal. Oh,
he
that
said
was,
diaper.
That was quality.
I was thinking about Dick Vitale, Diaper Dandy, who would always call freshman.
He's a diaper dandy!
Yes, yes.
Oh, and by the way, Stephen New York sent me a note. I do have to go a bit early tonight, around 7:20, if I don't chime in because I'm working. Give my best to everyone, and in the spirit of Bastille Day, la joie de Bastille, vive la France! Indeed, indeed. Vive la France. Thanks. Thanks, Steve. Apparently, I've been caught out by the Horns official Star Trek correspondent. That would be Lee in New York. Obligatory Star Trek reference. It will not be V'ger. It will not be Nomad. It'll be the probe from the fourth Star Trek movie, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Remember who saved the Earth? Whales! Yes, I do remember, and that's what I was referring to, but I just figured I'd cheat and use V'ger because I didn't remember if that entity didn't have a name, did it, Lee?
I can't remember. I do remember seeing the movie, but I can't remember.
And I said, little needles in your tongue, and Emilio said, didn't Jimmy Buffett have a song like that? No, I know all the Jimmy Buffett songs, and there's no song about needles in your tongue. Randy Radar said, I went to a Vietnamese restaurant in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and ordered the chicken soup, only to find a skeletal chicken head in the soup. Apparently, that is normal. It is.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's yummy. And you know what? You know what else is fun? Chicken feet. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Just sit there and gnaw on them and pick your teeth. Yeah, oh, I got that little thing. It's stuck right there in the molar. Yeah.
That's how you know if you're at a true dim sum joint. If they don't have chicken feet, it ain't real dim sum.
I haven't had good Chinese in a long time. Because remember, our Chinese here in Fayette County is just okay. Literally the name of the restaurant, the OK Chinese restaurant. Not great, not bad, it's okay.
And you gotta either get to San Francisco or up by Brother Deacon Asa. That might be the best Chinese food.
Brother Deacon
aside
has
from China.
Brother Deacon has told me in the past that the Chinese food there where he lives is not to be surpassed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I keep thinking back to this little Chinese restaurant when we were in Birmingham for a surgery. And they had a Szechuan beef stew with these huge chunks of tender beef in it, and this beautiful spicy flavor, and those wonderful little Szechuan peppercorns that again are like needles in your tongue. There's something about needles in the tongue with some Asian cuisine. And it resonates with me. But I will tell you, I mentioned that I will, you know, I'm going to be gone all weekend. And it's going to be rough and expensive. And that's, you know, just part of my life here. Oh, Jeremy, I wouldn't eat anything in Canada. It's all just too smoke flavored. Jeremy!
Ba-dum-bum.
Gunner!
Even the poutine is smoky flavor.
Yeah, the poutine is made with unironically smoked Gouda.
Wood fired.
Forest fired.
Yeah.
Oh, shame on me.
Hey, Jeremy, it's nice to see Jeremy didn't float away.
Yes.
Hey, can I ask real quick?
Yes,
I'm sorry, I'm getting ready to head out. Has anybody heard anything more about Scott? I mean, I can offer one piece of information if anybody
yeah,
cares.
Yeah, go ahead. I wish you would.
I found out, and I think I emailed you. I emailed somebody or something about it. I found out that his specific date of passing was I think it was June 13th. Is that
no,
what
June
I said?
No, June 12th.
June 12th.
Because June 12th. His niece's post went up on the 13th.
Okay, and that was, as I recall, 4 days before his birthday.
Right.
And I've looked for other stuff. I'm not going to get into my what I think. I think I know what happened.
I think I have a pretty good idea too, but.
And I think there is a reason that there will not be an obituary, I can pretty much guarantee you. I actually looked into California, and I don't know. It's not a matter of me being nosy. It's just a matter of I feel like –
You want closure.
I really like Scott. I really do.
No, I loved him to pieces.
I mean, he was such a decent guy, and I loved hearing his – I just want to know. But I don't want to know any more than I've already found out, because I don't like what I suspect, and I don't want anything to confirm what I suspect.
You're driving people crazy right now.
I know, but
as you say, I love you like my luggage, but.
I know.
I mean, I'll just say right out, I think there was an event. I think he probably called 911, and that's how they knew that's how they found out the next day or the day of, and then the post goes up on the 13th.
Mm. Okay.
I have a feeling that's not what you think.
No, that's not what I think.
You think he checked out of his own accord?
Yes, I do. But I don't want to know anymore, because I don't want to confirm that. That's why I stopped looking. I don't want to know that he felt that desperate.
Steve, may I? And again, we're speculating, and it may be a little bit ooky to some people, but you know, we didn't get closure. We didn't get to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get that. But I will say that sometimes it's not an act of desperation.
Oh, no, I don't blame him at all.
I tend to think it was natural, simply because he had been referring to the fact that he was having more problems.
Uh-huh. And he didn't quite sound the same as he did before. He
sounded weary.
Tired. When he talked, he just sounded tired.
Strained. More high-pitched, more and strained. His voice was quite strained.
I refuse to believe that he did it himself.
That's why I have my suspicions, but I would rather I'd rather just not know, because then I can, and I don't, again, I that makes it sound like I think it's a bad thing. I don't.
No, I certainly don't. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of death with dignity. Huge.
It was kind of the first I've heard that idea. I never even entertained the notion that he did. It's completely possible, but I don't know. Should we even conjecture?
And what led me to that was the fact that there is nothing anywhere announced.
Well, there are some people that choose that route, that it's very well announced. If you're an old environmentalist, the name Garrett Hardin would probably not be unknown to you. And he and his wife died together in their home in Santa Barbara, and they had done what is now legal to do in Oregon, but the surprising thing was they did it together. They didn't do it individually. Now, they'd been married for like 65 years, and blah, blah, blah. But there was an obituary there, too, and it wasn't And it's still, I don't think it's legal yet in California, but it definitely wasn't legal when he and his wife did it. But it was announced in the paper and all the rest of it that he and his wife decided it was time to check out. And they
checked out. Is it legal anywhere else other than Oregon? I don't even know.
I don't know for a fact, but I know it's legal here in Oregon. And
it has been for like 20 years.
Yeah, my father-in-law, when we moved up here, was at the stage where he was wishing that he could do it, but by the time he decided he wanted to do it, it was too late for him. In other words, he couldn't self-medicate.
Right.
Somebody would have had to hand him the pills and tilt the water glass up for him and, you know, all the rest of it. But I do not begrudge or hold accountable or whatever you want to put to it, somebody at the point in their life that makes the decision that I've suffered enough. My father tried to starve himself. He tried to hold his breath until he died, and that didn't work. And then he starved himself to death. Just refused to eat. And that was his way of choosing his time to leave. He was tired of hurting, tired of the pain, tired of life. And he was not a believer. His idea was, fold me up, put me in a garbage can when I'm dead. I know you can't do it, but that's what I'd want you to do because it'd be cheaper. Kind of practicality. But my mother begged me to do something for her so she could die. And if people get to that point in their life and they make the choice and they manage to pull it off, I don't find any fault, any harm, or any condemnation, any way, shape, or form, for people to choose to do that. Now, when it comes to a teenager, let's imagine a girl who gets pregnant and kills herself because she can't tell her parents she's pregnant. That's a very permanent solution to a temporary problem. But when your body fails you, it is no longer a temporary problem.
Or how about being a transgender person at that age and society's shitting all over you and the people that you love, and that's the only way out? We're going to see more and more of that, aren't we?
Yeah, but I'm trying to differentiate between somebody who's in their 20s or 30s or something of that sort and hits a rough spot in their life, as opposed to somebody who is kind of at the end of their life. I mean, I'm not about to kill myself right now. I'm still able to get up, walk around. I play in my garden. I do my canning. I'm enjoying life. I'm not about to even if my wife left me and I was deep in debt and all the rest of that stuff, I don't think I'd off myself just because of that kind of a problem. But when
I'm a younger guy, and Roger, you work harder than I do.
Well, but the fact is that when your body fails you, as in the case with both my mother and my father, and potentially Scott, we don't know. I can totally see that. Hey, my life is over. I could probably live another 5 years, but my life is over. I can't go out and do anything. I can't get in a car and drive, and I can't go to a movie, and I can't go in the park and look at the flowers, and I can't go look at the river and appreciate the river. And, you know, if I can't do any of that kind of stuff, what the hell's the use of still living? I mean, that's sort of my philosophy.
You're sort of in that regard, you are kind of channeling Ernest Hemingway, because I used to be a bit of a Hemingway scholar. Still love his writing. Very complicated man. But, you know, he was born in 1899 in Oak Park, Illinois. And he checked out in 1960. and he'd had a host of problems. The man had, I don't even know how many concussions, plane crashes, things like that. And it, and you know, drank like a pro on top of it. And that's not a good combination. But by the time he was, you know, getting to like 1960 or so, at one point he wrote, "The only things in life worth doing are writing and drinking and sex. And I can't do any of those anymore." And then, bang. And it's, you know, and it's so sad because the family tried to say, "Oh, no, it was an, the gun just went off. It was an accident cleaning it." No, no. And it eventually came out. And, of course, suicide runs in that family. It runs rampant in that family.
Did the daughter do it, too?
Yeah, and his dad. Not his his granddaughter. He only had sons. His granddaughter did.
If I may interject, he probably, well, you can't put the cart before the horse, but Hemingway, you're self-medicating. You're trying to, I live with depression as well. And, you drink to be depressed, and then you're depressed because you're drinking. Or, I'm fat because,
it becomes a vicious cycle, because alcohol is a depressant. You're depressed, you drink, more depressed, so you drink.
I was thinking of fat bastard. I eat because I'm depressed, and I depressed because I eat.
Yeah, I make jokes that aren't really jokes about, you know, sometimes I eat my feelings. And so it's very real. But, you know, other cultures have viewed checking out on one's own as an entirely rational act. The Romans. Shakespeare refers to, "I shall not play the Roman fool." I think that's Macbeth.
That's completely irrational. Jeremy just posted something. Maybe checked out. He had his cancer grew back in his brain, and he couldn't bear to tell us all.
Well, I think we can't resist speculating. I think that's a speculation too far.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, there are some realities. Indirectly, our beloved Scott may have been a victim of COVID, because he did a super job of making sure he didn't get it. But in the process, he so thoroughly self-isolated, he didn't get out of the house anymore.
No.
And became extremely sedentary, and I think that led to his that led to his mobility issues. And it's all just terribly sad. Flavio noting, it used to be in the Catholic Church self-checkout. It used to be in the Catholic Church, if you took your own life, you couldn't be buried on consecrated ground in a Catholic cemetery, but then the church evolved, and now they allow it. But I think Scott may have gone from natural causes. My health isn't the best. I could have a heart attack, and I wouldn't be surprised. Please don't. Please take care of yourself. Go to the doctor.
Let me just say,
the point is, it's all terribly sad.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Just because I got to go shortly, and I apologize for, you know, I didn't want to, and I just want to be clear. That wasn't me making a judgment about Scott. It's just that.
It didn't smack of that at all.
No, it's just wondering. Yeah. I mean,
he didn't seem himself. And if I were to, you know, I don't want to think that he felt despair or desperate. I don't want to having maybe, you know, maybe it has to do with the fact that I felt
anybody
that.
Hear me?
I felt that Hello? Before, so I know what it feels like.
Hang on, Jerry.
I got something to chime in.
Hold on. Let Steve finish, Jerry.
All right.
I don't want to think that he felt despair or desperation at all. And look, right or wrong in my head, sometimes you can't help what you think. You can only help how you react to it. In my own situation, like what I wrote the other night, I know that desperation, and to think that that may have been a part of it, I'm sorry, I can't help but think that.
I want to add this before we go.
Am I making any sense?
You are, and I want to add this before we go any further and before we go to Jerry. And hey, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan, Brother Bishop Steve just jumped in, so I have to say soup.
Soup!
Let me just add this. Scott had such a vivid, irrepressible life of the mind that I just don't see that being his reality. He was a relentless optimist. We're all screwed, Robin, notwithstanding. So, Steve, you're okay. And I would just like to offer you some degree of consolation that
I want to address Steve directly. The reason why everybody's all mum and quiet, I feel, and this is the impression that I got, and fuck you all for making me look and have these feelings, because I thought about a lot of people's deaths and passings. First of all, it's by his birthday, so it's natural. All right, just take my word for it. Unnatural deaths are usually 6 months off, like suicide. Natural deaths from like disease or whatever are reliably right around someone's birthday. It's the weirdest pattern I've ever noticed in my whole life.
Or someone else's. I mean, my father waited, literally waited until my birthday was over.
Yeah,
and died on, on February 1st in my arms.
There's a lot of that too. So what I think happened, and this goes back from a couple of months ago when Scott was talking about he was having a problem getting painkillers. I think he took a bad painkiller.
Oh, I wouldn't go there, bro.
No, hold on.
Because he was in pain.
I know you sell your soul to the devil if you're in pain. I get what you're saying, but that wasn't Scott. That's not who he was.
Yeah, Steve, know. That's a road you've been down, my friend.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not saying he was trying to off himself. I'm just saying it's
No. Jerry, honey, you got to understand, Scott would not leave the house.
Right.
You have to leave the house to get a bad batch.
Medication. Yes.
Okay. Well, there are ways, but I don't think Scott offed himself. He loved us. I mean, that sounds really egotistical.
It just happened. You know, there is no cause and effect. There's no reasonable explanation. These things just happen. I had a very good friend of mine who's a shaman tell me that, and I hate to jump in on this conversation and be all over it. But
no, jump in. That's what's going on, man.
That's what's going on with Scott. He was a good dude. He would never do anything stupid. He didn't even drink, Jerry.
That's not what I'm saying. Anyways, my point being, I think it was accidental, whatever it was.
No, I think it was natural.
I do too, Robin.
I think Robin's right. It's because he didn't move around at all. And when you don't move around at all, your likelihood of dying goes up drastically.
From heart disease and, you know, all kind of, Chris, you could just name them. It goes on and on, you know, high blood pressure. Uh-huh.
And
anybody know how many of those steps you're supposed to get in a day? What do they recommend?
10,000.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Well, what do you mean it's bullshit?
I walk a mile a day. Roger walks 3 miles a day.
How many steps do you get in a mile?
You got phone apps. Check it out, man. And a mile I'm digging,
I'm digging for my phone. God damn it. Hang on.
No, look, there is no scientific evidence, or those numbers came right out of the butt of Fitbit.
I know they did, but I just want to know what they're saying. You know,
wait,
old man
fit,
over
wait,
here.
Wait, Fitbit? Did you?
Fitbit. There you go.
Give yourself a cowbell, okay. Rabbit.
Okay.
From 2018.
Hold on. I mean, it came from Big Butt. Is that what you're saying?
We're being manipulated by Big Bit.
That's the number I've.
Yeah, you're right, Jeremy.
Whatever.
Jeremy said
some,
Scott definitely.
Some asshole made it up. I'm sure. Maybe Richard Simmons made it up.
Jeremy just said
some asshole made most things up.
Jeremy just said Scott definitely drank a lot of coffee. Tink, 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 tink.
That's it.
According to my app,
coffee actually protects the liver.
If you walk 2 miles, that's 5,185 steps. So they're telling you to walk 4 miles a day.
Huh. That's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
But it depends how long your stride is.
You people, stop it.
Your phone knows how long your stride is.
Sorry. Jeez.
It took me 51 minutes and 55 seconds to do 2 miles. And they say my average pace was 25 minutes and 56 seconds per mile, but that's always off. And it was 5,185 steps. I burned 217 calories. And I was in a mall that doesn't have any up or down at all. And it tells me that I had 23 feet of elevation gain. So, anyhow. But this is.
Are you going to be one of those mall speedwalkers, Roger?
Well, I think that when you take almost an hour to do 2 miles, it sure as hell ain't speedwalking. But yes, I'm walking in the mall because when the temperature is 100 degrees out, I'm not going to walk up and down the goddamn street in the sunshine. I'm going to take the short drive over to the mall and walk around the air-conditioned mall to get my mileage in.
I think that's going to be the next trial sport for the Olympics. You might be able to qualify, Roger.
No.
2 miles a day, Roger. You should be proud. That's good. That's quite.
That's really good, man. That's really good.
Well, I'm not doing it every day. It depends how much work I do around here. But I started on this little journey because my 38-inch waist pants were starting to get tight. And I was bound and determined I was not going to buy 40-inch pants. And I've got this reunion coming up, and I want to wear the same pants I've worn to every reunion since the 10th. And they're a 34-inch waist. And
wow.
I managed to put those pants on this morning just to check and see if they would fit. I still have to the end of August. They're tight, but I can button them.
There you go.
Well, I do a mile a day and have been doing a mile a day since 2015. And I don't miss. If it's raining, I go to the Home Depot. 4 laps around the Home Depot inside is a mile. And I've never felt better, you know, so. You got to move.
Blood pressure's down.
Yep.
You got to move.
Cholesterol's down.
Got to move.
And I've lost about 20 pounds, real close to 20 pounds. 18, I think, is what it is. And, I'm feeling good, and
you
I'm starting to do more around the yard. When I first started, I couldn't make a third of a mile without at least one sit, and now I can do 2 miles without sitting down.
Good for you, Roger.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, brother. I told you that from Jones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For me, the Anstead Rail Trail from the trailhead to the New River and back is a little over 4 miles. Downhill.
That's up and down. So that's good. That's good cardio, Robin.
Downhill.
I'm proud of you too.
Downhill's pretty okay. Uphill, I take breaks because it's an old narrow gauge rail track that's been repurposed to a trail. And
you got to be careful. You don't want to beat your feet up either. You know.
No.
Down that road too.
And there's a couple of little places where you can go down off the trail and go and splash around in Mill Creek, and this time of year, it's absolutely magic.
How many degrees of elevation? Like 20 degrees, 30 degrees?
No, rails are much gentler than that.
Yeah. Narrow gauge can be a little steeper than if I understand correctly. Narrow gauge can be a little bit steeper than traditional rail gauge. Jessica in Minnesota would probably be able to answer that question for us. The overall elevation is about, I think, about maybe 1,600 feet above mean sea level. But, you know, it's maybe a 5% grade.
The old standard for when you're planning a backpacking tour kind of number as a wilderness guide is you calculate for the participants 2 miles per hour plus an hour for every 1,000 feet of elevation gain. So if you've got a 4 mile trail, that's 2 hours, and you say it's about a 1,500 foot elevation gain coming out. So that should take you about 3.5 hours or 3 hours and 45 minutes to make the round trip. For somebody that's in good hiking shape.
Mm-hmm. How much weight are you carrying, would you say?
Well,
something like that.
On something like that, with people in really good shape, you can look at a 30 to 40 pound pack. But if it's just for some quasi sedentary folk, like I'm presuming Robin to be, and like I am generally, with no backpack whatsoever, you should still be able to get your 2 miles per hour plus an hour for every 1,000 feet if you're with no pack and in reasonably good shape. Now, when I was in really good shape, I could pump out 3 miles an hour with a 40-pound pack and no elevation consideration. But I was a backpacking beast at one time.
What did you backpack? Mostly a tent and a chair or cooking material, water? What do you carry in your pack?
Well, you're carrying a sleeping bag. I would carry a sheet of plastic, 50 feet of nylon line, groceries, a camp stove, probably a pint to a pint and a half of water, because I backpacked in areas that had water, so I didn't have to carry a lot. But I've done 50 miles in 3 days.
Wow.
That's a lot. For my little jaunts down to the river and back, because I can go to hypoglycemic in a minute. I carry a couple of packages of peanut butter snack crackers, mm-hmm. and a quart of ice cold water, and that's you and a gun.
Wow! When your blood sugar tanks, there's no worse feeling in the world.
It's terrible.
Did you say a gun?
Yes.
Okay.
You never know when a critter's going to pop up. Yeah.
I'm not worried about critters. I'm worried about
the other critters. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, there's another one that people frequently can do themselves in on, and that's if your electrolytes go bonzo because you get salt dehydrated. Not when I say salt dehydrated,
desalinated.
Salt deprived. Right. Desalinated. Yeah.
Your electrolytes tank, yep.
And your electrolytes go bonzo. I mm-hmm. went through a sodium deficiency episode on one of my I led trips that lasted 2 weeks. And just before the trip, I would always scout and make sure that the campsites and all that were still what I remembered from a year or two before and all that. So I'd preview the trip. And the trips were usually about 50 miles in a two-week trip. And just before the trip, I would speed backpack the entire trip. And there was one of them where I was just humping along and got really weird and got myself to a creek and found some wild onions and made myself a very salty wild onion with powdered milk soup. And quit at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Usually what I do is I get up in the morning, eat, hike, lunch, hike, dinner, hike, and camp for the night. And after the lunch, I started hiking again, and fortunately I got to the creek, and that was where I ended that day because I was done. Ken raised the hand.
Go ahead, Ken.
I'd be afraid that I would pick, like, poison ivy, and I would eat that.
Leaves,
no, you wouldn't.
Leaves of three, let it be.
Yeah, no,
Steve,
you
no.
Yeah.
Rednecks, right? We know.
Or, like, mushrooms, I want to get stoned, and, like, mushrooms.
We got chanterelles growing like crazy over here, and Karen and I have been eating them every night. You know,
oh,
she knows how to spot them. They're delicious.
Oh,
man.
Chanterelles are wonderful. My daughter-in-law has a green thumb, and she got one of those mushroom kits from like Amazon and grew these beautiful pink oyster mushrooms, and they were heavenly.
Nice.
But we were in there's a chain of grocery stores in Tennessee and Virginia called Food City. And
I'm familiar with that area, Robin. Yeah. I had some land there, and I got rid of it just recently.
Great on pizza.
And we were wandering through there, and it's a little foodie Disneyland. And they had, I've never seen them in the store before, dried morels. Oh, morels. I love morels. And I can just imagine rehydrating those little suckers and giving them a rinse and rolling them in flour and frying them in butter in an iron skillet.
Or a wok pan with some garlic. Oh, man, and some butter. Oh, man.
Yeah, morels are just heavenly. And I was talking about my friend's Tom Yum Soup earlier. She will often put those little beautiful straw mushrooms or those wood ear mushrooms in that soup, and nothing
those
like
are fabulous.
It. Oh, Christopher. Yeah, Christopher, they're just wonderful. Listen, we're almost at the end of the program. We got down to 1440. If anybody wants to help out and at least knock out $100 of last Monday paid for, or funded, not paid for. We're not selling anything here, I never do. But get it funded, it would be great, because the pressures that come from maintaining everything and finishing 2 months in a row miles deep in a hole, well, they're bad. And
sucks.
It's really stressful. And, you know, I'm trying to help our kids get on their feet and start their own lives and, you know, so that Ferg can be in a position to go out somewhere there and get a job. That's just, you know, it's what you do as a parent, you know.
Of course. And you're like me, you're getting hit from all angles. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no let up.
No. Just when you think you can breathe, you know, you got a root canal or something else coming and pulling the rug out from underneath of you. You know, Karen's on a fixed income right now, and so I'm having to pull everything I can just to keep us afloat. But
yeah.
It is what it is, man.
Yeah, it is. And
how's Karen enjoying the new life?
Oh, she loves it. I mean, it's quite an adjustment, Chris. I mean, we're not used to being in each other's face 24/7. She used to work 12, 14 hours a day, you know. So
wow.
Oh, I want to share a couple of thoughts here real quick. Our dear friend Bernadette wrote in, subject line Scott. I'm writing because I found that conversation on Scott disturbing. Rather than speculation or anyone possibly carrying some mental health issue because Scott died, it's helpful to just admit you don't know how Scott died because you weren't there. Nothing nefarious had to happen to Scott. Maybe it was natural causes. Settle that for your own brain health. Wish him well on his new dimension and realize his energy still exists somewhere in the universe. Bless you, Scott. You win.
It's here.
You're free.
Well, thank you, Bernadette. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from Billable Rick, the Death with Dignity law in California, just before he left office, Governor Jerry Brown, despite his Jesuit background, reluctantly signed a death with dignity law, so this has been the law in California since 2015. The law provides as follows.
The End of Life Option Act allows an adult diagnosed with a terminal disease who meets certain qualifications to request the aid in dying drugs from their attending physician. The act requires physicians to submit specified forms and information to the California Department of Public Health. So, I don't think that was part of it. The thing that has deviled me the most is the idea of him being afraid and dying alone. That is what has, well, messed with me.
Well, it's kept me awake at night too, Robin.
Well, I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
You're not.
By the way, back to the walking. Flavio says it's 95 with the humidity outside. You guys can walk your miles. I'm staying inside with the AC. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Flavio. Get a treadmill, put it in your spare room, and just knock it out, bro.
And
go to the ball.
And also, Tamara wrote in and said, sneeze coming. Sorry. Something's blooming. Forget about how many miles in an hour. Just move however your body feels it. And you gotta
move. That's it. That's
and
it.
Just a couple of things along the way. If you see this video, take a moment, enjoy it for what you think it is, because it looks like a 4th of July parade and Mike Pence being hit square in the noggin with a water balloon.
That poor fly on his head probably drowned.
Yes, that's the mark of genius. Everybody says, it was a little girl who threw it, right over the plate, right in the pumpkin. And everybody said, yeah, she was just killing flies. Unfortunately, it's not real.
No,
it's not AI. It is the Nassau County, New York County Executive. Who from the back, you know, he's got the snow white helmet hair, and people spread it around but it's not. But it sure. But since we were talking about Hemingway earlier, there's a line toward the end of The Sun Also Rises where Jake Barnes says, "Wouldn't it be lovely to think so?"
Robin, I would like to expound on something just for a brief moment, if I may. It harkens back to the conversation you and Dan were having and how groups are just selling out, like this Ozempic commercial, and Dan incorrectly said it was by Blue Chair. It's incorrect. It was actually the group called Pilot. It was a one-hit wonder, and, you know, I liked the song, too.
Yeah, I thought it was Pilot as well.
But I didn't want to correct him or make a big freaking deal out of it. But, you know, they were smart enough to, you know, the copyrights usually expire every 25 to 50 years. The people at Pilot were smart enough to re-up their copyrights, so they got a payday twice on that song.
Okay, so they did get paid. It wasn't like a Creedence Clearwater Revival situation where they didn't own the music.
Yes, and we
good,
see
well,
that
good
all
for
the
them.
Time.
I just hate having songs that I love ruined.
Well, you know what really, really just grinds my gears is the song My Way has turned into a poop in a box commercial for Cologuard, you know?
Oh,
I don't
hell.
Know if you've seen that or. Yeah, Paul Anka actually wrote that for Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And somehow, somebody got greedy and sold it to Cologuard. I'm thinking, oh, man. If Frank had come out of the grave, he would strangle somebody for that shit.
Steve, you know how much I love you, but I have to ask. You seem to pay an inordinate amount of attention to commercials about pooping. Because, what was the name of the dog?
Gordo.
Gordo, yeah. Gordo dragging his ass across the couch.
Yeah, it's just I guess.
And then there's that
piece,
and then there's that piece of bubble gum from eighth grade in your colonoscopy. Yeah.
That's some serious micro targeting marketing going on with Steve there.
Right.
Doing.
But the one
they've got your number, Steve.
They do. Number two.
The one with Culligard just really, and Karen too, is like, I can't believe that Frank would sell out to Culligard to poop in a box. And I said, Karen, it wasn't Frank. It was Paul Anka and his statement. And who knows how that unfurled? Who knows? It's all about the copyright and who owns the songs, you know?
Right. That's like Miss Terry and I were talking about because we both agree that we love the soundtracks to Guardians of the Galaxy, all three movies. But they changed with the tenor of the music choices changed with each movie. And I was talking to her and she said, yeah, but no Beatles songs. I was like, well, they probably couldn't afford them. Yeah, Sony.
Doesn't
or
Michael Jackson own all the Beatles songs now?
I thought the catalog was sold to Sony.
Okay.
That was Michael Jackson. All his stuff got sold to Sony. Maybe Beatles too.
I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not up to speed on that. But I thought that Michael Jackson, when he was still on this earthly plane,
yeah, he did. He bought the Beatles catalog. But then I think his estate sold both his music and the Beatles to Sony. I could be wrong.
I think that sounds right.
What happened was his catalog was used to secure the tour, the insurance on the last tour, because Michael had become flaky in the end. There's a conspiracy theory that Michael was killed because of that catalog.
Oh, no, please, ugh. No.
I've heard it more than once.
Well, we got one more little piece of happy, you know, Mike Pence is from Talibandiana. Here's another guy from Talibandiana. Representative Jim Lucas. This goes back to May the 31st. Representing Jim Lucas, who, of course, has lots of Republican family values, and is a strong proponent of the Second Amendment, and he's also pro-weed. Well, on May the 31st, Seymour, Indiana police.
Seymour, Indiana.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, I know, right, yeah, Seymour there, who? Seymour Heine.
Wow.
Seymour, Indiana police found good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, dope-smoking, Christian, Republican Jim Lucas 3 miles south of where he had crashed his car into a guardrail going the wrong way on a highway ramp. After that 3 mile walk, after they arrested him, they still, I don't know that it was a walk because apparently he drove on his rims for miles.
Damn.
And even when they caught up with him, he blew .097. And they went ahead and tested him for weed, and yeah, he had a legally intoxicative level of weed, of THC in his bloodstream. So, but of course, since he's a Republican and a politician in Talibandiana, he got off light. He entered a guilty plea to 2 charges, leaving the scene of an accident, a Class B misdemeanor, and operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated, a Class C misdemeanor. They gave him a 106-month, 180-day sentence and then suspended it. And then they gave him a 60-day sentence and then suspended it for the DUI.
Wow.
So he's going to have to do a whole year of unsupervised probation.
Oh, fuck that. Oh, my God.
You know what the worst part about probation is, though? The pissing in a jar. That really sucks.
Yeah, but it's unsupervised. He's not going to pee.
He ain't pissing in no jar if it's not supervised.
Oh. Well, they can always spring it on you, but yeah, he's a Republican.
Yeah, they could. And they could come to your house anytime if you're on probation, you know. But I generally, you don't, you know.
This guy, they're not going to do it to him.
Under what criteria was the intoxicated amount of THC determined?
They said, but you said blood, but I was wondering about that too.
Blood.
And I didn't think there was a fatal amount of THC.
I don't think there is a amount that's recognized.
Yes, there is.
In what blood? Is it?
His blood sample had 14 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood. States with THC limits usually consider 5 nanograms as impaired.
That's
yeah,
really
but you
low.
Were talking fatality. Well, what did it cause? Tachycardia to the point where his heart blew up? I mean,
no,
intoxication.
Intoxication. Just being fucked up. So he was nearly he was nearly 3 times the legal limit of high.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like the weed itself killed him then.
He's not dead.
Oh, okay. Good.
He's not dead, Jim.
Let's stop killing people
not
over
dead
here,
yet.
Shall we?
David, it's been a long time since they dug up people and hung them just to make sure they were dead. That was an English thing that happened.
Come on.
Examiner, not a surgeon. Damn it!
The Italians dragged out a pope and put him on trial dead, and then they found him guilty and threw him in his body in the Tiber. Don't think it ain't just England.
I forget who the dude was they dug up in England and hung.
Hanged.
Oh, was that the king?
Well, I'm thinking
after the
Cromwell
Reformation
or something,
or,
you know.
Yeah. I think you might be right on that. I can't remember if it was the king. The first thing the king that was killed, or the second king that was killed, or if it was Cromwell. Cromwell, probably. I don't know. One of them.
That Cromwell name sounds familiar.
Yeah, it should. Oliver? Yes. A man who was so awful that even the English said, Jesus, can we please have our monarch back? And they'd had some bad monarchs.
He was treacherous. He was a treacherous son of a bitch.
In the name of Jesus! Of course. Theocrats always are.
But now we got our own here in America.
Yeah, but I thought you guys would enjoy the story about representing Lucas. He's a member of the Indiana House of Representing. And no matter how many people complain and demand that he step down, he said, the House Speaker Todd Houston, I don't know, of Talibandiana said, I haven't really had a chance to talk to him. I'll take a look at it and see what we do moving forward. That's another way to say nothing. Lucas himself said,
"You don't think he's going to go spend more time with his family?"
Well, he said, "I recently made mistakes and exercised horrible judgment. My recent mistakes and horrible judgment. My ownership of them. I own it 100%. My acceptance of the court's judgment. I'm getting professional help. I've learned and will continue to learn every day for the rest of my life from these mistakes and errors in judgment. I am and will be a much better person because of this." But yet, at the same time, he has not been able to learn from the mistake he makes every time he supports fucking guns, no matter how many children die trying to just go to school. So, you know, he'll probably have the swirly straw back in the Mexican gasoline bottle before long.
But that's a whole lot better than the apology, "I'm sorry if what I did offended you."
Yeah, I think even an asshole like this realizes that you can't get away with that, Roger.
But that's the typical Republican apology.
Yeah. The Republican non-apology apology.
Yesterday, good God, have you all talked about that? The what? Dweeb on the House floor that put out that pejorative and everybody. Was
oh,
just,
the one, oh, the one barking colored, about colored people.
Yeah.
From Alabama. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh no, Arizona.
Is that word that was it? Arizona. I mean, that's Archie Bunker language, man. It's like, what the hell? What are you doing? Even
well, like yeah,
the
in
House,
yeah, in
know?
The in the story I had, even well, Jim McGovern, who's the senior Democrat on the House Rules Committee, said, you know,
Jesus Christ,
they're not even trying to hide the racism anymore. They're completely out. And by the way, Jude in Washington just sent this along. This is pretty sickening. Via the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, the bill that they, the NDAA that they passed, one of the amendments that they got away with, is a ban on soldiers, or members of the military, I should say, a ban on members of the military having contact with Religious Freedom Group. Religious Freedom Group is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Not even trying to hide it anymore.
No,
it's in your
no.
face now, you know?
Yeah, they've got the bit in their teeth.
Well, back to that colored person comment. There was a talking head on MSNBC last night that was bemoaning the fact that that did get expunged from the House record, the daily congressional record, that he felt that should not have been expunged so that it could be pointed to as the absolute bullshit, because now there is no official documentation of how racist the son of a bitch is.
No, everybody should use that for the next session. It should have been colored person this, colored person that. Beat them to hell with it. Just beat them to death with it. But there's so much to do, and there's so little time. So, you know what? But it was a reflex reaction. That's an older auntie right there. She was just reacting. I understand her reaction. But no, I don't think they should have expunged it at all. Not one bit. And when he said it, I gasped. I was like, holy shit, this guy is a representative.
Yeah, but you got to go pretty low to get below George Santos, and this guy did.
Are you guys old enough to remember?
George Santos sounds like a fucking senator, okay, or a representative at least. This guy didn't, this guy sounds like he's selling parts for a sprinkler system or something like that out of the back.
That's oddly specific, Jerry.
But not to denigrate those guys,
but Scary, Scary, do you remember? I'm old enough to remember Rick Santorum or Santorum.
Sanctum Santorum. Man on dog Santorum.
Yeah, man on dog. Yeah, exactly. Do you remember what he almost let the cat out of the bag when he said, he was starting to go on some kind of racist screed, and then he said, blah, blah, people. He called them blah,
blah. Yeah, people. I didn't say black. I said blah, people.
Blah, people.
This guy reset. Seriously, if you look at him, he reset like four times, and colored people was his best option.
Yeah, that was option D. No,
I didn't say the N word. I took two letters off. What are you people complaining about?
He actually reset. Y'all complaining. And he was kind of proud of himself too. He had a little wiggle.
Yeah, he was. My grandmammy taught me that word. Yeah.
I know.
See, I said colored. Look at there. And I was just,
I'm with the times. I'm with the kids.
Isn't no, wait. I said colored. I'm woke.
And he didn't understand what all the hubbub was about. He literally didn't get it. Oh, wow.
Well, it is still the NAACP.
That is true.
Yeah, it's just a branding thing. It's too much to change. I mean, I'm going through a name change right now, and it's positively Byzantine.
And what would you change it to?
A lot of coffee cups out there with NAACP on it. Yeah.
Well, I got a coffee cup I'm filling right now in honor of Scott. I really am.
Oh.
Yeah? Oh, come on. How could you not have coffee? And it has to be hot, too. None of this iced coffee bullshit today. What the hell is wrong with your life?
Right. Oh, how is it down there? Still triple digits, Jerry?
We were in a heat dome.
I saw a story earlier today, and I thought of you, Jerry. You were talking about that 100-mile circle. And
I was right.
And so the water in the Gulf and in the Gulf Stream, the waters surrounding Florida are so hot now that marine species are dying of the heat.
They're cooking in the water. Yes.
What's that going to mean for the hurricane season, Robin?
When it gets,
my God.
Well, when it arrives, it's gonna, they're going to, even if it's a subnormal hurricane season, the ones that spin up are probably going to be some serious badass
monsters.
Storms.
Monsters.
They're all going to be monsters. There's nothing slowing them down. In fact, and now there's a heat bubble. It's going to be like they're like kids skateboarding at a park. They're just going to be doing wheelies. It happened last year, and last year wasn't as hot as this year with Ian. Ian came off of Cuba, a cat 1.5. It hit that heat bubble, and it was a cat 5. And it really didn't have its shit together. But by the time it was like 30 miles out, it turned black on the Doppler. Black on the Doppler is 150 to 180 mile an hour wind. Stamped.
Well, currently there's enough wind shear that's holding it at bay, but that's going to break.
I think September is going to be really interesting.
Oh, yeah. September, October, maybe even into November if the water is that hot.
And well, there is a lot. There's, yeah, the water is ridiculous. It's abnormal. That's why the animals are all crazy.
We're going to have to come up with a new scale for the hurricane season. I mean, it's like the air quality index. They figured they'd never have to go above 500. And now they've realized they have to create categories above 500. Cat 5 hurricanes, they never thought a hurricane would get above the upper limit of Cat 5. But we're going to have to create Cat 6 hurricanes because they're coming.
I said this online and people just laughed and pointed and called me an idiot Florida boy. When you have a storm sustained over 180 to 200 miles an hour, that's something else. That's not 145. I think 145 to 165 is its own little region. But if you even look on the Doppler, they do something logarithmic where they get really there was one in the Philippines, the baddest one they had, which was 190 to 220 miles an hour. And here's the thing that just hurts my mind. Maria, the storm that hit Puerto Rico, was a Cat 6.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I get unreasonable and just emotional when people go, oh, Trump did fine with the hurricane. I want to choke. That's my Susquehanna Hat Company moment. No, he didn't. He allowed those American citizens to sit in the fucking sun for 8 days before he threw fucking
paper towels. Yeah, but he threw in paper towels, Jerry. He threw in paper towels. What more do you want? Come on.
And if it's traveling fast, it doesn't matter how far inland you are, 300 to 500 miles even, you're still going to get... You're going to get knocked. You're going to get a 1-2 punch with that thing, man, from the forward motion and the actual wind speed itself.
You know, if you think, for instance, about a tornado, you know, tornadoes can have wind speeds around 500 miles an hour. So, but they are relatively short-lived. They bounce up and down into the from sky to ground, but when you're talking about getting up at or above 200 mile an hour hurricanes, you know, that's a chunk of a tornado, and then they spawn their own tornadoes.
Exactly.
Well, actually, you know what? This is something that everybody who's never actually been in a hurricane, I have to explain this to you. It's not just wind. The water is going 200 miles an hour. The water is going sideways 200 miles an hour.
There's not a whole lot of difference between a typhoon and a hurricane. Typhoons are in the Pacific, hurricanes in the Atlantic. I went through a typhoon on Guam. Now, other than the inhabited areas of Guam, it's fairly dense jungle in a sense. I mean, you can't see 2 feet off the side of a road because there's so much vegetation. As soon as that typhoon, and we did not get the eye of it, so we didn't get the worst of it. I was just, you know, close to the eye. The eye was about 30 miles offshore. When we left the station, you could see back into the jungle 100 feet because the only thing that was there were some of the bigger branches. All the smaller branches and all the leaves were gone. And you could see.
Scrubbed clean.
I mean, it was, they were all on the ground, but the trees were all naked. 4 days later,
wow,
you couldn't see into the jungle again.
And Roger, derechos are starting to be a serious threat, too. The one just moved through Springfield, Illinois, a couple weeks ago and just totally destroyed that little town, man.
Well, it wasn't there someplace
you're
that...
talk straight line winds, you know, or just incredible velocity.
That the corn crop somewhere got toasted in this huge swath of land somewhere in, I think, Iowa or Kansas or someplace.
I was reading about that.
Laying on the ground.
They just triggered
Vermont got buried in rain, didn't they?
Yeah. Jeremy posted his situation. He's up high, he said close by it was a disaster.
They got like 2 feet of rain.
And it's going to affect the food chain, Jerry, because it's, you know, a lot of our food, especially tomato-based food, are grown out where all these things got flooded out. So look for ketchup, you know, marinara sauce, all that. Look for that to go up relatively soon.
Are we
going to
be stabbing people to buy $10 ketchup? I think ketchup's worth $10. I really do.
What are they going to do in Mar-a-Lago?
It's going to be like the chicken eggs, you know. But now chicken eggs have returned
to normal
levels. Where's my ketchup
packets
at? I mean, I always think about that apocalyptically.
Ketchup is a vegetable. But seriously, I seen a guy on the news the other day that said all your tomato products are going to, you know, jump considerably.
You know, I would say I'm in Florida. We have growing agriculture areas here. And I'm like, yeah, but we just got rid of all our immigrants. So there's that. And we did. Mm-hmm. We did,
and we just had going to
be a
yesterday.
Rotten. Yeah, going to be a rotten in the field.
Everybody's going.
Your insurance is going to increase 15% too. Be prepared for that. We just had a meeting yesterday, so whatever you're paying now, just be prepared.
Just rip that up.
Yeah, 15%.
Rip that up.
Yep.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, Jerry, it sounds like to me, death sentence during the hurricane season is going to need a set of keys made by Cruz at his Cancun cabana.
I can imagine.
Hightail it out of Dodge.
Well, I just
right?
I saw an article from Raw Story earlier. Florida is hurting as it becomes where empathy, decency, and kindness go to die. Those are the words of a columnist, Jennifer Rubin, at the Washington Post. Governor Ron DeSantis and his obedient Republican legislature, I always say pet, have made bullying and attacking the vulnerable the hallmarks of their governance. But the thing is, Florida's losing thousands upon thousands of dollars in attorney's fees for what she calls right-wing stunts, which lose in court. She also said in February, USA Today reported Florida may be the most moved to state in the country, but not when it comes to Gen Z. They're the only generation that chose to exit Florida with an outflux of 8,000 young adults.
God damn, they're fleeing, man. They're running in droves.
Staff departures are bailing out of Florida universities and colleges. 1,087 professors and staff members have resigned from the University of Florida, just the University of Florida, in 2022. Almost 1,100 people.
This won't be a problem after the hurricane, folks.
She said
we'll have
record
that a problem.
She went on and said
this won't be a problem.
She went on and said record numbers of faculty are not returning to the University of Central Florida, Florida State University, and the University of South Florida. This is hardly surprising, given DeSantis' assault on academic independence and his suggestion that students go out of state if they want to study topics like African American studies. And then the convention industry in Florida. There's little sign that the rest of the country is enamored of censorship, book bans, or anti-immigrant and anti-LGBTQ+ sentiment. The question remains whether DeSantis' act wears thin at home. And that's just scratching the surface.
I had a conversation in the parking lot with the guys yesterday about this very thing. But this was all framed, and I couldn't get a word in edgewise there either, Adriana. This was all framed as Biden's fault. Everything you just mentioned was Biden's fault. And I'm like, wow, that's how the fuck they do it. Because this guy was in hospitality and he's going, he don't understand this and he don't understand why his daughter got evicted and he don't understand that. All of those things, you know? and all of that, Ron DeSantis actually made COVID harder, okay? Made sure we hit every brick and every step. Turned down a whole bunch of money, gave the landlords unprecedented power to do whatever the fuck they wanted with rent. Had a whole bunch of people move from New York because they were idiots. That drove up, that drove up occupancy and took out real estate inventory. But the point is, none of that fucking matters. The water is 100 fucking degrees. This house of cards we're built on, this is like the weirdest game of fucking roulette I've ever seen. Somebody's going to get hit in the face.
Or Jenga, right?
Well, interesting.
Down.
Interesting you would say that, Jerry, because at the New College of Florida, which is somewhere near Tampa, I think, one of their trustees, one of their hand-picked pet trustees, is a toxic fucker by the name of Christopher Rufo. This is the guy who got the whole ball rolling over CRT, and he's going after DEI. And I mean, he's just a shitbird, okay? He's a shit weasel. Comes from, I think, the Manhattan Institute. Well, he's on the board of trustees at New College of Florida, which Monkey Up DeClantis felt like was too liberal because it's a liberal arts college. And so one individual apparently spit on him. So there you go.
Gross.
Florida men and women are fixing to get violent. That's the best way to put it.
Fixing?
And Manhattan.
Again, this is the state where a guy robbed a liquor store with an alligator.
And it looks like get violent because
it looks
our,
like
our,
a pecker. You know, so
everything
that
we're pissed off about, that's funny. Did you see that 20-foot snake they caught, too?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, and that snake was like, fuck it, I got a shot. I can take you. I was like, man, sometimes I hear some stuff rustling in the woods. That's all I have to say.
The sad reality is, no matter where you live, if you think you're going to escape the effects of global warming, you're deluding yourself. It's going to hit you, too.
There is no planet B.
Everybody's going to get a dose.
Greenland.
Mars is
the
answer, Steve. Mars. Got to get to Mars.
No. Greenland.
No, I don't want to be an indentured. I don't want
minerals.
No. I don't want to be an indentured servant to Leon Scum. Sorry. Well, listen, y'all, I got to get out of here.
All right, Miss Robin. Always a pleasure.
Always a joy, Steve. I'm so glad you popped by. And sorry about the conversation. I mean, we all miss Scott. And
wait a second.
Trying to process
it. It's okay. Everybody had a right.
We had memorial conversation. This is the kind of stuff that happens around memorials. And I appreciated having a memorial because I didn't have a memorial for a bunch of people. So thank you all.
No worries. It's all good, man. It's all good.
I wish we all had some food. If we would have some synchronized, vitals, that would have been great.
Oh, by the way, Jerry, on the way out the door here, let me tell you something. There is a pizza joint, and they started out in Fayetteville, and they have expanded. I mean, there's a bunch of them now. There's one in Charleston. There's few in Ohio, one in Alabama, a couple of them in Alabama. It's called Pies and Pints, and one of their most popular pies is their Cuban pulled pork pizza.
Nice.
That's not a Cuban pizza, though.
It is roasted pulled pork with and it goes on after it's baked, that crumbly white cheese. And
what style crust? Is it crust New York style, Chicago style?
Oh, it's not. It's not Chicago style. It's not a casserole.
Is it New York? Is it New York thin style, or is it just kind of?
Yeah, it's just a, it's a handmade crust. You know, spin it in the air and all of that shit.
All right, chewy crust or crispy crust?
It's kind of both. I mean, it's relatively thin toward the center of the pie, but then it gets nice and chewy out by the out by the crust end.
Multigrained or
it's just white flour.
They do have a
gluten-free alternative.
When you said pizza, I put everything I had stuff going on in my hands and everything. I put everything down and I sat down and I literally put my hand to my chin and went, tell me more about this pizza. So go ahead.
So like I said, it's covered with roasted pulled pork, pineapple, cilantro, and jalapeno slices. And it's freaking delicious.
Well, Robin, speaking of freaking delicious, before you go, let me share something. It'll only take me a minute, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
On the food board lines. Ted Turner has a restaurant. It's called Ted's
Montana Grill.
Yes. The food is delicious. And he makes a meatloaf that is just outstanding. And, I don't even care if you like meatloaf or not.
Where did you go to Atlanta or something?
No, there's one in Cumming, Georgia.
No kidding.
It's a Georgia thing. Okay.
Yep. There's a Ted's Montana in Cumming, Georgia. But to my point, Karen was able to find that recipe, or I don't know how she did it, but she groveled with somebody there at the restaurant, and they gave her the recipe. And she has it down to a science where she cooks it indirectly on a grill, which means you don't cook it directly over the coals. You push the coals aside.
Right.
Put it in the stove pan.
Safety zone,
And you put the chips in on the sides. And she can cook a meatloaf that will just melt in your mouth, man.
Oh, God, I love it. I love a great meatloaf. Yeah, this place, I mean, it's a big chain. Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Tennessee, Indiana, Virginia, Kentucky, Georgia, Massachusetts.
Oregon, it's every bit as good, which Karen can make, is every bit as good as what Ted would be proud to, you know.
Robin, is Oregon on that list?
Sadly, no. Neither is.
All right, you got to post that recipe, Steve, and I got
a
snippet.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to, because I'm going to try to recreate that with Impossible Burger. Something else, whatever you mentioned.
It's Jerry, it's best to use biased meat if you can find it. If not, use a lean, you know, hormone-free beef, ground beef that, you know.
You're vegan, right?
Yeah, Jerry?
And the meatloaf, and just so you know, I'm looking at the website, the meatloaf is bison.
Right, and that's what we use.
You know, there's a particular fake meat that's kind of bison-y. It has a hemp base, believe it or not. So I would use just three different types of.
I'm dying here. Bison short ribs, bison brisket.
Jesus Christ!
Good stuff, man.
With garlic mashed potatoes and buttered carrots. Get out of town.
But thank you for indulging me. I'm getting in the car right now.
I'm going to go to the nearest one.
okay. Well, let me help you then. I mean,
a food for it. Just a tiny one.
You're an Illinois boy, Bolingbrook.
Oh, I know where that is. Yep, I got friends in Bolingbrook.
There's one in Connecticut.
And Chris, for Ted's restaurant, you're going to have to go to Montana. That's about the closest one.
Bozeman, Montana, Christopher.
All right, I'm hitting the 84.
Hey,
The 84. What are you, a Californian now?
No, 84 heads to Idaho.
No, but you said the 84. What are you, an Angelino?
I heard that White Castle makes an impossible slider, so that instantly went up.
Really?
Yeah. And I heard it's amazing. And I was talking to my daughter about going to New York and going to have some pizza and veggie burgers up there and maybe a good vegan cheese and going to see my aunt and her grand aunt because they're a little bit older and legal weed.
What part of New York, Jerry?
The Bronx.
Oh, Bronx. Well, then you got to go see the Yankees.
No, I'm a Marlins fan. Fuck the Yankees, even though I'm from the Bronx.
Well, they might be in town. They might give them a spanking. The Yankees are shit.
The Yankees are terrible.
What's-his-name got hurt, and they've been terrible. It's
the
nice
Marlins are actually good. Listen, if all our teams go to the championship this year, like it looks like, this is the apocalypse, okay? That's all I'm telling
you. I'm watching my White Sox lose again.
The Marlins are going to the World Series. There, I said it. All right, never mind. The point being, just the whole walking food tour of New York in the late summer, shaved ice. As a vegan, I might have a hot dog, though, because my daughter talked to me. She went to New York, kind of like on a food thing, and she talked to me about a hot dog for an hour. I'm like, you don't have to tell me about New York hot dogs. And she just went on and on and on and on and on. But it got my mind thinking. I would think that would be great. Just go up to New York and wander around and eat. Check that out.
Manhattan's got more food carts on the street than the county fair.
Yeah, just walking around eating New York food. And hopefully, you know, we won't die. Probably not. New York food is, if you've been to New York and eaten the street food or casual food or even good food, New York has amazing food. Worth going to for just to, you know, walk around.
That little ramen place down on the Lower East Side. I still dream about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going back to Chicago in a month and a half, so I'm going to look up that White Castle Impossible Burger. Sounds good, Jerry.
That jalapeno
cheese burger, man. You can have about 20 of those.
What do you say? Imagine an Impossible Burger with the jalapeno cheese.
With the little onions.
And the big fries, oh, God.
And the pickle and the french fries. Oh, God damn it. So I got to go to Montana first, then I got to go straight on through. Is there any in Minnesota? Is there any White Castle in Minnesota?
Well, White Castle in Minnesota, I'm certain of it. But once you're over there, go to Culver's.
Yeah,
I heard Culver's has a good vegan burger too, like a really good vegan burger.
Well, if it's at Culver's, it's gonna be really good.
Probably in butter, but I don't care. I have a mixed relationship with the vegan. But yeah,
I haven't eaten at a White Castle since it was 10 burgers for a dollar.
Holy shit.
And of course, you know, if you're talking about White Castle, when you get down south, you have to talk about Crystal.
No, you don't.
Yeah, crystals are wonderful. Crystals are wonderful.
No, they're not.
They're a million times better than a White Castle. Get out of town.
Oh, really? No,
every time I've been to a Crystal, I've gotten sick and just disappointed. Maybe it's the crystals I'm going to, but I think it's the K. First of all, as soon as I saw the K, I was like, uh-oh, I don't trust anything going on here.
I think
it's not crystal, Gary.
When I lived in Maryland, we would down those sliders, me and the boys, you know, at midnight after we'd been out partying all night, you know, without issue. Then I moved to Georgia, and we tried to go to Crystal's, and it didn't sit right.
See, I first heard about White Castle when I went to school in Missouri, and the people introducing, you know, back then they called them sliders too. But you know, everybody's got this slider or that slider. But back then it wasn't exactly a claim to fame. It was the fact that you could eat White Castles and shit for a week.
Uh-huh. still the way that works. That's how you know you're doing it right. Yeah.
Oh, and we can all breathe a sigh of relief. This just on the way out the door. We can all breathe a sigh of relief because yesterday the Secret Service said it had closed the investigation into what Alex Jones described as a huge bag of cocaine. I guess he'd know. Happened to be found in the White House.
You know what? I want to see the videotape.
Wait, they closed the case?
Because they have no idea whose coke it was. It was just some rando who came. Oops, I dropped my blow.
It was a huge bag. It had the initials. False flag. False flag. It had the initials AJ, which is Abraham Joe Biden.
It was the gay frogs.
There was no surveillance video footage found that provided investigative leads or any other means for investigators to identify who may have deposited. I don't think they deposited it unless it was a Republican. The found substance in this area, the Secret Service said,
fell out of their pockets. They were
without stoned. Physical evidence, the investigation will not be able to single out a person of interest from the hundreds of individuals who passed through the vestibule where the cocaine was discovered. Cocaine. At this time, the Secret Service's investigation is closed due to a lack of physical evidence. Wait, a lack of physical evidence? Are you telling me that some member of the Secret Service snorted the evidence? What?
It's gone. But the funny thing, and just so I've heard, cocaine baggies have a weird electrical static charge to them that somebody will, and I've noticed this with people, they'll put it like not in a pocket with something else, and they'll put their hand in it, or it'll come out and it'll fall on the ground. I've seen this happen 1,000 times. What I wanted to see was the videotape of the person who knows they lost the bag, who's doing that low key at the floor thing, trying not to be obvious.
Yeah. You know, the one where you don't stoop or anything, you just kind of lower your eyes a little bit, you know, kind of like you're looking through your bifocals. Just like, wonder where my Peruvian marching powder is.
Trying to look under chairs without trying to crane it. They know who did it, but come on.
No, they don't. You know, they really don't know who did it.
They don't care. Nobody cares.
I'm assuming Donnie Jr. dropped it, like,
I'm assuming that some Republican planted it with the intent of saying Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time.
I think that's true. Yep.
I think somebody should have said it was really low quality cocaine too. That would have been funny. But
it was cut with baby laxative, man. You didn't want to. Yeah, you didn't want to snort this stuff.
What are you doing? I don't know. You know what? That's the biggest scandal we have going on in the Biden administration. We're doing pretty good. They hate him out there.
By the way, did you see the big fuck you that the Biden administration gave the Supreme Court today?
No.
I love this a lot. The Biden administration forgave umpty bajillion dollars in student loans today because they could. And John Roberts can fuck off into the sun.
They used the side door, huh? How'd they do it, Robin?
Yeah, he had the authority because there was a pre-existing structure that had been doing it. It was for low-income repayment. It was for low-income borrowers trying to repay their loans. And if they'd paid on them for 20 years, it was supposed to go away. Only the program sucked, you know, like under Trump. And so consequently, they just said, okay, we're going to fix the program. The program is now going to work.
They fixed the glitch.
Yeah, they fixed the glitch. They de-trumped, they de-trumped it. And
perfect.
And so I'm sure there will be pissing and moaning and bleeding and braying and howling and shrieking and screaming that you could hear at Leon Scum's beach house on Mars. And that's fine by me. Good God. The Biden administration
garden.
Is, generally speaking, with the exception of a couple of fuck-ups here and there, generally speaking, they are, you know, they're playing 11D-dimensional chess while Kevers McCarthy and Matt Forehead Gates are sitting there looking at the checkerboard going, I'm going to jump. Suck it.
Well, Kevin,
says Biden.
Kevin from Colorado, he told us this when this whole shitstorm was going to start. Just keep handing them more rope. Let the maggots run wild. Let them keep throwing feces all over the joint. Let them bury themselves. And it looks like it's happening.
Oh, and there's one other thing that happened today. A New York architect who actually, I think, went to school with Billy Baldwin, was arrested and may actually be a serial killer from back in 2003 on Long Island. He's referred to as the Gilgo Beach Serial Killer, Suffolk County, New York. And 59-year-old Rex A. Hoyerman was arrested. Back in 2010, law enforcement found the remains of four women in the area. One of them, a 23-year-old sex worker. And then in December 2010, they found four other women. Then there were six more sets of remains found between March and April of 2011. Partial set of remains found in 2000. They found a piece of a belt that the suspect had handled that had the initials WH or HM. Again, his name is Hoyerman. And he's a highfalutin architect from Massapequa Park, New York, on Long Island. And he's worked as an architect for tenants at JFK International Airport. He's made presentations before the New York City Landmark Preservation Commission. He founded his company in 1994. And he and Billy Baldwin graduated.
I know how he voted, Robin.
Oh, I bet I do, too. Billy Baldwin said he and Hoyerman graduated high school together in 1981. And the police released information today saying that Hoyerman had been searching the Internet for sadistic materials, child pornography, images of the victims and their relatives. He counter-surveilled the cops, kept guns around the house, and used one of several burner phones registered under his name to make taunting calls to a relative of one of the victims.
Ugh. And he voted for George Santos, too.
Probably in the district. And several of the potential victims, along with Shannon Gilbert, were sex workers. Jesus. Just.
There was a really old case on Long Island with many sex workers dead found along the highway there, the main drag, whatever that is. That was many years ago, I think.
And one other just little piece of data as we wrap things up. In the 6 months of 2022 in the United States of America, there were 28 mass killings. It is the worst number ever recorded in this country. And all but one of them involved guns. ...140 dead from mass killings. But of course, don't worry. The Republicans love guns more than they love people.
Culture alive.
Culture alive. That's right. That's right. Jesus. So anyway, we're out of here. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Think of me. I'll be on the road. And for any of you listening to the podcast, we'll be at $1,740 in the hole come Monday. If you'd like to help out, golly gee, it would be wonderful if you could. Because that's how we keep this all on the air. There's no subscriptions. I mean, there's no paywalls. I mean, our subscribers are people who just set it and forget it once a month with PayPal or Patreon. But nobody's limited from anything here. The conversation is open to everyone. And all are welcome as long as they're not Republicans or maggots. Because I have a deeply held religious belief that precludes me from giving them any free airtime. Funny how that works. So again, thanks everybody. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening. That would be Ralph's. And thank you, Joey, for the challenge. Thanks as well to Jeremy so much. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. By the way, I presume the back porch will continue after I go off the air. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger, and thank you to Steve. Soup. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow it, love it, whatever the podcast platform calls it. Leave a comment on social media. Share the program on social media. Leave a comment for the algorithms wherever you take the podcast. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay safe. Get your booster if you can. The disease, the COVID's still killing 350 people a day. Wear your mask if you're around maggots, because they don't care who they hurt. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry some with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And going back to yesterday, if some maggot hairdresser from Traverse City, Michigan comes toward you saying, "You should go to a pet groomer," avoid her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.